This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Ray Network. I'm your host, Strigger, joined by my man, Dylan, who is calling me from his zone, actually.
This is my zone, 2:30 a.m. in my time zone, but in Japan in my heart. And my body clock right now, as always. So, like I said, this is a throwback. You know, when we first started to do this show, it was always like at 3 a.m. because you were still in college, and this was before you were a teacher and stuff. So we were doing it like 3, 2 a.m. or whatever. But then we somehow or another, after you got out into the real world, after you grew up, and left me alone for forever, we started doing it more around the noon time zone in the central time zone in America. So this is a throwback show and quite an episode to pick as well, because I think we needed all of these extra 10 hours that we're going to have to talk about what happened in the New Japan shows. We've got only two to talk about, but about a million times worth of things to talk about on the shows. But Strig, it's good to be here. So it's been a little while. I'd also like to plug our Nakanishi Week of Lariat on the Patreon. I know you've had a lot of fun just trolling me, but also making us both laugh on the Twitter account, at Eastern Lariat. But check out the Patreon, the $5 tier, Big Hashimoto tier, for an entire week of Manabu Nakanishi going over his whole career. Lots of fun stuff on there, lots of cool stuff. It was a lot of fun doing the project with you, just like all the other ones we've done on there before. And it was a great thing to set up. And actually, what I just remember our last episode that we just posted, or you just posted about a day ago, and we actually have a talking point from there that totally plays into what we're going to talk about on this show. So I thought it was some crazy, synchronicity or whatever on there. I was talking to W.H. Park about his shows that he's got on post-wrestling, and it seemed like on every show for, like, you know, the week and on Twitter, we just so started talking about Global Energy Team in AJPW, Patriot, Issei Kobashi. Somehow or another, that came up in all kinds of different scenarios. 4th of July happened last week as well, so, it was a very patriotic day, the Patriot. I mean, who's more patriotic than the Patriot? So somehow or another, he came up, and now we're going to have Nakanishi references on today's show with me and you as well. So it's good how things just kind of... It's fate, you know, Strigger. This whole show is based on fate, in my opinion.
And, you know, this probably was the week to troll around with and in New Japan Pro Wrestling, so I trolled around a bit with Manabu Nakanishi. But, you know, Dylan, first I want to say that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I'm not talking about New Japan this time, because I'm also talking about a show on our Patreon. And I'm talking about the Spot Lariat that we did on 0-1 in All Japan Pro Wrestling. And, of course, I was very sure that 0-1 would not find a new money mark, gotta say it like this, to prolong their existence. But, of course, there is one. A friend or a former associate of Atsushi Onita is now paying for all of this. And I mean, I should have just known, you know? I should have just known that 0-1 will never die. And especially not around the time of the 15th anniversary of Shinya Hashimoto's death. So that was pretty obvious that this promotion would not go under.
Yeah, I figured they would last a little longer. I was a little bit more optimistic than you, but I was definitely seeing that the end could be near just because of the way the company has been for the last few years. But I think I said something on that show, and I said it again on Twitter. You can never say never in wrestling, but specifically with 0-1. You can never say never to the amount of money marks that are in this world, Striga. A lesson we've all learned many times over the year, but it's kind of amazing when you think about it that they are going to keep going and plans for the 20th anniversary show are still in play. The measures they've taken in terms of like the dealing with the coronavirus that they posted was really cool, actually. I don't know about any kind of like money-making potential with 01, but it continues along the line. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the guys who left now, like Hidaka, Sato, Takaiwa, and what 01's going to do next. They had some interesting plans. The press conference, I don't always buy into these kind of things because it's easy to make cool promises a lot of times and then maybe not live up to them with actions. But the stuff they were saying at the press conferences were all really cool, I thought. Some of the stuff with the women they had with Super Fireworks, the testing policies, some of their plans. It's interesting to see how it'll go, but definitely a very quick turnaround. The rumors of their demise were greatly exaggerated, as it turns out. And that happens sometimes in wrestling, everywhere really, but especially in wrestling, but nowhere more than Pro Wrestling 01.
Exactly. Takaiwa is gone, Hidaka is gone, Koesato is gone. I mean, New Japan, they probably need some wrestlers, I don't know. Since they already debuted Dick Togo on their last show, why not go with Ikuti Hidaka too for the juniors?
That would be great. Takaiwa, too, we speculated
Takaiwa
on
him. Too, yeah.
Yeah, and Takaiwa especially. Togo has the dojo connection, and so does Takaiwa, so there's definitely smoke to that fire that we speculated on Patreon, but Hidaka would be amazing if that happened. Sato's a great worker. New Japan, like I said, it's clear that times are a-changing due to the pandemic and the lack of wrestlers they have right now, specifically with the foreign wrestlers that are not on the roster. So it's going to be interesting when we get onto that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get onto that because, as you mentioned, there is a lot of stuff that's changing. There is a lot of shuffling around. And it seems that a lot of things are changing, not only when you look at how the stables are organized, but also when you look at just how main events are made. When we look at the main event that's going to happen at Sengoku Lord at the end of the month, due to most of the foreign wrestlers not being around, they, I think, felt the need to change a lot around. What we saw this past weekend in the final of the New Japan Cup and in the main event of Dominion, first of all, was more than 70 minutes of evil wrestling, first still as King of Darkness Evil, as the LIJ version of himself, or of his gimmick, and one day later as Bullet Club Evil. Do you think that, let me say this first, that A, Evil turning to the Bullet Club was a plan all along?
No. No. No.
Do you think that Evil breaking off of LIJ and winning the titles was the plan all along?
This is interesting because I can see it going either way, especially with him breaking off. Him winning the titles, no. But him breaking off of LIJ, I definitely think that could have been the plan. But him becoming double champion, I can't imagine when Naito won that title, that is where they had in mind. I can't imagine it.
I mean, you made some very good points on your Twitter already yesterday when you talked about that, or when you discussed that, basically, on there, that if there's one guy to betray LIJ, it pretty much has to be, or it pretty much had to be Evil, because he was the Kingsmaker in the first place.
And yeah,
of course,
exactly.
And of course, that guy, in the end, has to be the one to screw the king out of his position.
Mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing was very interesting from how they built to it and where they pulled it off, because there's a lot of different layers to all of this stuff that happened over this weekend. But him turning on LIJ, I honestly had no problem with at all. Like I said, I think that might have been the plan. Maybe not exactly like how it played out, but him turning, I have no problem with at all, and I think it made total sense for him to be the one to break away.
No, I don't have any issues with him breaking away from LIJ either, because LIJ, in my opinion, was a very much a stale group where nothing really happened for either guy in that group. When you talk about like going up the card, going down the card. They all had their positions. And except for Shingo Takagi, there was no one that was like moving up. Naito was on top. Evil and Zanada had the tag team. Bushi was the sidekick of whoever is in the junior title picture with him. And Hiromu Takahashi was always in the juniors. But now it seems that they have some different plans with all of these wrestlers. And it remains to be seen what the plan with Zanada is, because he was very absent of all of this, what happened in the main event of Dominion. He was not there. He did not show his face. And that remains to be seen. The thing that I was really laughing hard at the end of the New Japan Cup final show, because I'm so over these turns where the guy just joins Bullet Club, you know? I mean, I can also see that the plan was to break Evil away from LIJ, and then I wonder why he necessarily has to join one group, you know? Mm-hmm. And especially the Bullet Club. I mean, when you look at the Bullet Club now, they have, I think, now that Dick Togo is in too, they have, I think, like 15 members of the Bullet Club, but like half of them can't be there right now because they can't travel to Japan. So it's basically the Japanese guys left. And there is a huge issue with that, because most of these guys that are in the Bullet Club right now are either very low mid-carders, like Yujiro Takahashi, juniors, like Taichi Ishimori, or they are Yado and Gedo, who can't do shit anymore. So they pretty much needed a new guy on top of their group, because Kenta can't be there either, because he's living in America. So all these circumstances probably led them to do what they did, but I don't know why it still has to be the Bullet Club in 2020. That is what really made me laugh so hard, is that they still try to heat up this group that has started in 2013, mind you. 2013, that is. And that has gone through so many different incarnations. And after Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and Cody left, I think the Bullet Club name itself had lost so much heat because nobody was taking this group seriously anymore. They tried in the G1 2 years ago. We remember that with Tama Tonga and Bad Luck Fale. They tried to heat up them again, but it totally backfired and everybody rejected what they tried to do. With Gedo and Yado turning to the Bullet Club, it very much became just their group, because that is another talking point, another issue that I have with this incarnation of the Bullet Club, is it is not about the guys in the Bullet Club. It's not about the guys that turn to the Bullet Club. It's always about Gedo being the heel manager. And we're going to get a lot of Gedo heel managing in the future. So I would have liked Evil to split away from LIJ and just become a lone wolf on his own. Just be a heel, just be a dick, haha, like he is. And just be an evil mastermind on his own, maybe with one or two sidekicks, but that's it. But now he's now in this Bullet Club construction that always is just about Gedo having fun.
I really agree with a lot of what you said. I definitely agree with you that the Bullet Club name has really lost a lot over its various incarnations, and it's like with each one it gets worse, you know, like worse and worse, and you don't want that. It's kind of like a band who go through like four different lead singers.
Oh, a band, you say? I know another band that has lost a lot of steam due to various incarnations. I mean, I think they were called NWO.
Yes, that's true. Their TNA name, the band.
The Bat.
Yes. This is the TNA version of the NWO right now.
It's not even the NWO Silva anymore. It's the Bat.
No. I see. There was the original black and white version, the Wolfpack, NWO 2000, mm-hmm. which was Silver.
Yep.
And then the band. had to be the fourth one. So this is the fourth one.
Well, technically, there they're... also was the NWO in WWE.
For, that's true. You know? You're right. Yeah, you're totally right. So we're not there yet. This is the NWO and the WWE with, like, Goldust and Booker T in it. And I think there are a lot of... You could make the case that, you know, Goldust and Booker T would fit in with this version of Bullet Club right now if they were transported to 2020 somehow. But yeah, so I agree with you that they've lost a lot of luster. Whichever version of the NWO they're on, it's not the Big Three version that had made all the money and all of that. The only caveat I'm going to give to you, not even playing devil's advocate, but I think the reason why it turned out like this was, is perhaps, and this is just speculation on my part, maybe even fantasy booking, but I think it makes sense if you look at how things played out. Could this set up a Bullet Club versus Bullet Club storyline in the future with Jay and all these guys coming back? And there's large speculation that Gallows and Anderson are going to be back in New Japan. So we bring all these foreigners back in and feud with this Japanese version of Bullet Club as well. Could that be something they're setting up? And that's why they did this, because they know that Evil is not going to be Bullet Club, quote-unquote, for life, no pun intended, but they're going to break off into their own new faction as soon as possible, like as soon as the pandemic allows it.
I can see that being a plan. That would actually make sense, because of course now Evil is where the Jay White character was supposed to be, you know? Like the golden goose of the Bullet Club, so to speak, that Ghetto had in mind for being the leader of the company. Now it's Evil, and Jay White, in character, can't be happy about that he was replaced by another wrestler.
Well, judging by the Kenta title defense, Jay probably knew all along. It's just fine.
Oh, that was back in February, Dylan. That was a different time.
It feels like about 5 years ago that happened, but, you know... I definitely think that's a possibility, because on paper, Evil himself really doesn't fit Bullet Club at all. You know, if you just look at his aesthetic and his position in the company, he just doesn't fit at all, ultimately. So I don't think this story is at completion yet, but we'll just have to get into it when we talk about
the match. They have to shuffle a lot more things around for this to make any kind of sense.
Oh, and another thing I wanted to mention, not to cut you off, but like these mid-carders you're talking about are now main eventers.
Yes, like Yujiro
is facing Okada. Like that's something I wanted to mention when you said that too. It's like these guys are getting pushed in main events now.
No, yes, exactly. That was where I was getting to with my point. Like, the first time it really struck me that they could do more with Taiji Ishimori than just being a junior was, of course, when he was in the New Japan Cup. But then also, remember the match that he had with Yujiro Takahashi on the New Japan Cup final show, where they stood just next to one another, and they are pretty much the same size. And they are not that different in their entire stature. So why can't Ishimori be much more than he is right now? And then, of course, there is Yujiro himself. Yujiro Takahashi, who had been for years and years just this undercard Bullet Club, I don't know, gang member, who was just there to score the eventual pinfall in an undercard six-man tag over Bushi, sometimes over Yoshihashi. But now, Dylan, I think that has to pain you, but he was there to get a pinfall victory over Hiroki Goto to heat up Yujiro Takahashi for his upcoming singles match against Katsushika Okada, and I can't believe that I'm saying these words.
Well, it doesn't bother me at all that he beat Goto. Like, you know, Goto's lost so much. I say, you really buy into me being invested in these wins and losses way more than I am in reality.
Because, you know, if I would have the same conversation with Flush, he would be so devastated.
See, that's the thing. I don't care about that anyway. Like, I always tell everybody, like, even if they're wrestlers, they're always worried about who's going over. And I'm like, winning and losing doesn't matter. It's how you make people feel that matters. Hmm. So I've never really cared about wins and losses. Actually, if anything, I like underdog characters, so it kind of works for me on a personal level. Yujiro, though, that's not really an underdog. It's like you're losing to a guy who's basically opening match level for like the last 3 years. But I will say this. I have defended Yujiro in the past when it comes to him in tournaments, and that he's not as terrible as everyone claims he is. Even his match with Goto this year, granted, Goto's one of the best workers, but his match with Goto in the Cup was above expectation, I would say. It wasn't a fantastic match or anything, but it was a very solid match, and his match with Juice a couple of years ago I thought was way above expectation. Yeah, I thought he did a great job in it. So I think he's got something. It's possible he could have a match. If he has a 31-minute match with Okada, no. I don't think that's a good use of Yujiro at all. But I don't hate this push, considering the circumstances. It's kind of goofy that we've just... That's kind of my problem with all of this at the end of the day. It's like we went from a 2 to a 10 on pushes with multiple guys all at once.
Yeah.
And I think that wasn't really well done.
And that is the thing that I was alluding to most. I agree that Yujiro had some good matches in the past when he was given the opportunity to. But, you know, Yujiro in this position to now have a Katsushika Okada match, I don't see it happening from how he worked in the last couple of years. You know, he used to be a junior in his early days, then he became a heavyweight, and he considerably slowed down due to the gimmick that he has now as a heel. And he works a very slow style that can, of course, fit a Okada match to be the antagonist, yes. We'll see about that, but if it's a 30-minute match, no, I don't see that. But maybe they can surprise us. But yes, it's mostly about the perception of all these guys that are now suddenly in positions where they are supposed to be at least in part carrying the show. And that is difficult to buy right now. But once again, possibly the circumstances of all of this was why this happened.
Look, I just can't imagine Yujiro and Okada was the plan at the start of this year when Okada was main eventing the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah. No.
There's no way that that happened. So if we know that that's true, there's no reason that the rest of this couldn't have changed around, too. And it's a tough spot. You know, we're going to talk about it a little bit more in depth, all of this, but whether you liked it or didn't like it, it's kind of a tough spot to have everything rearranged, guys missing a bunch of your rosters that you've relied on for a lot of things. You know, like I said, good or bad, I'm not really a huge fan of Bullet Club or really any of the people that are missing, to be honest, but that doesn't mean they didn't have important spots to play in this show and in this company for the last years. So they have to change everything around to do new things, and that means some guys are going to get pushed higher than they should. Some guys are going to lose when they shouldn't, like Goto maybe. He had to be sacrificed to heat up Yujiro for some reason.
Yes, and that's another great point. They did all these changes in a very remarkable way. Of course, Hiroki Goto is someone that always drops a fall, but all of the Tokyo Dome main eventers that are still around right now, except for Jay White, of course, he can't be there, but all of these guys dropped falls to get guys further up the card, to get guys in better positions. Evil, he beat Okada and Naito on one weekend. Kota Ibushi lost to Taichi. Hiroshi Tanahashi, still a viable name in the company, of course. Semi-main event on the Dominion show. He dropped a fall to Zack Sabre Jr. So there are a lot of guys who are dropping falls left and right to make sure that the company itself gets their steam back after this long break that they had. And that is remarkable. And I don't know if there are many wrestling companies in the world that would do something like that in this sense.
I really think the circumstances played a big role into that, but I do give them credit for at least changing things around to this extent. You know, who knows? Like, there's so much speculation that could be said about all of that, but they definitely have tried to make new stars. I don't think that you could ever criticize that. They've made changes, and I think that can only be seen as a good thing. Even no matter what the reason is behind it, it's good that they're trying something different, because they've really been stale for a while. You mentioned LIJ was a stale stable. To me, all of their stables are stale. Like, all of their storylines are stale. All their titles are stale. Like, everything about them needed a fresh coat of paint. So now we're getting a little bit of this, maybe to good or bad ends, but we're at least getting something different. So I do appreciate the effort made on that end.
You know, and they changed a lot around when you look at the titles. The Never Openweight title is now actually an openweight title. So they backed away from just being their big heavyweights fighting for the title. The tag team title, the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team title, is now suddenly a semi-main eventing championship with actual singles wrestlers that have been champions before fighting for the tag team title. That's a great change. That's something that we've been advocating for years and years and years now. Mm-hmm. And then...
To be fair, they started that with Ibushi and Tanahashi
in February,
before. Yeah. But still, it's nice that they went there. Well, we'll talk about that more when we talk about the match.
And of course, then there is the double championship, the heavyweight title and the IC title. Well, nothing really has changed there when you look at the general perception of the title. It's still main eventing, of course. But Evil is now the champion. And that's where we go to his matches, I'd say.
Okay.
Over 70 minutes of Evil, as we said at the beginning of the show, in two matches.
This is your guy, Striga.
Well,
he was. Literally, the last episode, you said his gimmick sucked, but he's so great, he pulled it off. And then I said, you said that, not me.
Yes, because the gimmick itself is so corny that you think that people would just laugh it off. But people were buying his merchandise in masses, and you saw all these people from different age groups and different genders just having these Evil merchandise things. Mm-hmm. And he was not a laughing matter. He was a guy that was taken seriously, not only by the fans, but also in storylines, due to the fact that he made the gimmick work. So that's the one.
And you liked Evil as a wrestler.
I do.
You know?
I do.
Yeah, you still do. So he's an interesting case of somebody. We'll talk about it a little.
He definitely is an interesting case. I like Evil, but we began talking about that when the New Japan Cup happened, that it baffled us so much that he is now this cheating heel that uses dick punches, that uses the chairs even more than he used to. And I never liked this chair spot that he always did with the chair hanging around the neck of the other guy who has to hold on to the chair and wait until Evil has another chair to hit him with. It was always a corny spot. But he's become more of a cheating heel now with all the dick moves that he did. And what a great foreshadowing, by the way, that he kicks the guy in the dick now. Sorry for that. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We knew it was coming, considering who was going to debut on the next show, and we have many, many more puns of that to look forward to, because, we'll talk about more about him when we get to the Dominion.
But then this Okada match happened.
Yeah.
And it was 35 minutes of them basically wrestling around. I don't have any other words for that right now, because it basically is a match that I watched and I was sitting there thinking, okay, when is this like taking off? When is anything happening? And then something happened, but it was Evil turning to the Bullet Club and Gedo interfering and Yujiro interfering to make sure that Okada wouldn't win it. It's the second time actually that Yujiro has screwed Okada out of a main event.
Yes.
What did you make of this match against Okada? The 35 minutes that set up Evil turning to the Bullet Club.
Oh, I thought this sucked. this isn't my style of match, first of all, for multiple reasons. But at the time, I'm just going to try and remember my thoughts of real time on this. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, they were doing this very typical like mix of Okada and Evil style. Like, we saw the stuff where he did hit the low blow during the match to set up his chair spot. There was a ref bump. There were multiple ref bumps,
two.
I think.
We had four ref bumps in both main event matches.
And I love when you posted this on Twitter. I'm going to give you huge props for this. You don't need ref bumps when you can use the chairs anyway.
No.
So, you know, like, why Evil, do you need ref bumps?
As I said, Evil has used this chair spot since he's come back, and he was never ever DQ'd.
I know. So like, why did they do this? That point is something that I think goes, people don't even think about that when you watch it. They're just so ingrained to have ref bumps and interference and all this. But you saying that is such a, like, makes it even worse than it actually is. Because you know I'm never going to be a fan of this style. But when you point it out that way, It's like it's even dumber than it would be otherwise. But then we had Gato and stuff. So when Gato walked out, I didn't understand why they continue to go to this manager versus main eventer storyline.
Yeah.
It made no sense to me at all.
The first thought of that I had was, okay, are we now having another Okada versus Gato match?
That's what I thought, too. I was like, why do we need another match? The first one went way too long, you know, and boy, Okada, like, he didn't exactly blow the world away with his tournament either, with this storyline, and without the title, look, throughout his entire career, when he's not at these big main events, the results haven't been great, and I don't think we've been seeing many great matches from Okada lately.
No.
And we definitely don't see a great storyline with him and Gato right now, or him and Yujiro. So, on all of this, I was very disappointed at all of that. A lot of this match, too, was working over his Cobra Clutch submission, which, on paper, I like. Like, I like that he's focused this. It's in the execution that is, like, makes this unwatchable.
Remember the last episode we did? I said it looked basically like they are cuddling. And it, once again, looked like this.
It looked like this multiple times. It looked like Evil, maybe he was... maybe that was the real purpose of this match Okada has. He's outsmarted everybody. His strategy is now to bore his opponents to sleep with this cuddle. Because that's kind of what I took it as when Evil started to sell it. He was passing out. He saw Gato walked out and was like, oh my god, another Gato and Okada match. I can't take this.
There once was a DDT Extreme title match where they actually had to put their opponents to sleep and they had pillows in the ring and stuff like that. So maybe Okada is working for the DDT Extreme title now.
I think so. That could be a future storyline. Well, we'll talk about maybe that could be a storyline in the future. They bring in new guys. It's time for Okada to seek new titles. Perfect idea. So then when Gato came out, like I said, I was thinking all of those things and what I said. When Yujiro came out, I didn't even put it in my head that Evil was joining Bullet Club at this point. I don't know if you knew that was going to happen or thought that was going to happen.
I mean, it would be funny at that point.
Yeah.
When Yujiro came out, but I still was just thinking, okay, this is about screwing Okada, and Evil is just taking advantage of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that would kind of actually make sense, too, because it really played into his entire tournament, and would also raise a lot of questions for him and Naito, even as dual LIJ members, and it perfectly set up the post-match, too. But, so at that point, I didn't know what to make of it, other than I just thought that Yujiro was going to be, like, a heater for Gato, basically, just have, you know, Okada runs through Bullet Club guys to get to Gato again. Okay. So then Evil wins the match. Okay, they had set this up with the tournament. At first I thought a traditional Gato booking is Okada always wins, but it's clear that he's obsessed with this Okada storyline right now. So I was like, okay, this makes sense. Evil versus Naito, it's a good story. Dual LIJ guys. I hope that they don't go... Just what we said on the last episode, where the one thing I was hoping for is that they didn't fight, and then Naito would win, and then they would fist bump, and all would be okay again. Because I think that would be a real waste of all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So then we had... So, like I said, the match, to me, wasn't very good or entertaining at all. But that doesn't matter. So we get to the main event storyline. Naito comes out, and how do you think of the execution of this? Because they teased the fist bump, and when Evil raised his hand, he then flashed the too sweet signal, and they gave Naito the STO and joined Bullet Club. That's a gift that's been posted 1 billion times on my timeline.
At first, I didn't really notice it, I gotta say.
Oh, wow.
But when they played it up again, I, of course, noticed what happened. I was just so focused on their facial expressions that I didn't really look out for the fist. But of course, it made total sense that they would do it like that. And I gotta say, they played that in the hype video for the main event on Dominion. They showed it from different camera angles, and that was shot so well from their different positions that they had. Once had the usual position that they have their camera position in, then they had the position where they filmed the entrance, and you could not only see the hand gesture that they both made, but you could also see their feet movement, and it was noticeable that in storyline, Tetsuya Naito was totally caught off guard with everything that happened, because he couldn't react to what Evil was doing, so the way they pulled this off, I gotta say, was very good.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't believe what was happening because I don't think anybody predicted this. Like, Evil was going to join... Maybe they said Evil was going to win, but Evil's going to win and join Bullet Club. That's completely off the wall. Although they... If you look back, they built it up really well with the new heelish tendencies and stuff. So from a storytelling perspective, I have to be honest, I really didn't love Evil at all in this tournament. I didn't even like him very much. Mm-hmm. But the storyline... I thought it was very well done how they built to this. They spent an entire tournament building up this one guy as a new heel in the way they love to do with dirty tactics and stuff. And it totally made sense for him by the end of the tournament to join the most heelish group of all.
Yes.
So I liked the way they did that, even though I didn't love the matches, but I liked the story of it.
And then there's the point of trust and confidence in a guy. Because Tetsuya Naito, in this situation when they fist bumped, he basically put all the trust in Evil because, of course, he was his first pareja. He was his guy. Yep. And even though that Evil defeated Zanada with using cheating and all kinds of stuff, Naito was still sure that this is his guy and that he's loyal to him. And he was just putting his trust into Evil. And Evil betrayed him. And that is something that... You have to go all the way back to Evil debuting and him becoming this crucial part of LIJ to really understand and to appreciate the story. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was very well done. I think it was interesting because, you know, you could kind of explain away the dirty tactics and stuff, like, you know, because LIJ was built upon that, especially when Evil came in. Remember, Naito had all kinds of interference. Yep. And dirty tactics and stuff like that. So it's not like they've never played dirty before. But to turn on somebody like this, and like you said, have a true betrayal like this, I know caused a lot of emotional heartstrings. So I like the build-up of the tournament to build a new character like this. Here's where... Like, from a personal level, I don't like it because the matches weren't good, and they're not going to be good in terms of this Bullet Club stuff. But from a story perspective, I appreciated it. Here's where it fell apart for me. This epic betrayal, and the blow-off to that happens one day later. You know. I think that it's unfortunate because of the way things played out, but I think it would have been a lot better if we had time for this to simmer, have build-up promos. We don't really even know anybody's thoughts of it other than, well, based on the match, he probably didn't care that much that he turned on him. But like that could have been built up really well. I also have to say, it's very important to note something on this whole show. We didn't talk about the rest of the show much, but the New Japan Cup final show, it didn't sell out. It was the first show with fans. I think that is a horrible failure, in my opinion, to have the first show back with fans not sell out at 30% capacity.
Mm.
Like, come on. Like, how did that happen?
You know, I don't know. The card itself was not great.
No, that's true. And it was not a good card. And the final... Was Evil that over to justify this main event? Because the fans clearly didn't buy it at the level that they should have.
Yeah, you know, as I said, the card was not good, and the prices were very high for the show.
Oh, yes, that's another problem, yeah.
And then you look at some other shows that happened over the weekend. Of course, that's not really comparable to New Japan numbers, but you look at, for example, Big Japan. They were the first company to run Kuroken Hall again this past weekend after it opened again. And they didn't sell out. They drew 241 and 304 fans. Dragon Gate in Kyoto and Osaka, they also didn't sell out. They had like 200 fans in attendance for these shows that they did. 285 in Edion Arena Osaka yesterday, for example. So they didn't sell out either. So I can see this being a combination of Evil not being over to the degree that they probably want him to be over, the card not being good, the prices being very high, and people still being very cautious about going to indoor events.
Was the next show sold out at Dominion?
No, it was not sold out. They drew slightly better. But I wonder, what was the amount of fans they could have let into this show?
It was one third,
right? And
yeah, 30%.
Let's see what they did for other Osaka Joe Hall shows. Let's go to
And this is interesting research here. I'd like to know the numbers on this.
Let's go to 2019. Osaka Joe Hall 2019, they drew almost 12,000 people. So 4,000 I can see being the maximum. And it's weird because usually when they announce a number like that, like this number that they had for Dominion on 3,898, they would announce supernova vacancy for a number like this. If the maximum capacity is 4,000, that in usual circumstances would be supernova vacancy. But maybe they didn't go to these announcements of no vacancy or supernova vacancy because the arena was not fully used.
Yeah, yeah, right. That makes a lot of sense for them not to say that. But I thought it was interesting that neither of these shows sold out with Evo in the main event. Is this what the fans want to see? Time will tell, but the main event, like I said, on a personal level, I'm never going to like it because these matches aren't very good to me. But from a story perspective, I appreciated them doing something different. And I actually liked the evil turn because I thought, I've always said that LIJ, like the evil gimmick in and of itself, I really agree with what you said earlier. Like, for whatever you want to say about evil in-ring, this gimmick totally sucks, in my opinion. Like, this should have, like, this would sink many a worker. And he did make something of it. So, you know, there's been a lot of people that maybe this was too much evil all at once. The people weren't ready for it. But you have to give him credit on that end, that he made a really terrible gimmick work for, I mean, what, 4 years?
Yeah, look back at when they first debuted him, and he came back as still Watanabe, and nobody recognized him because he was already wearing this kind of makeup that he has now. Yeah. And when they announced him for the first tour where he was teaming with Naito, and it was known that his new name would be King of Darkness Evil, that was some Master Wato spirit of laughter that he had behind him, because people laughed it off as being go, so corny. Yeah.
Go to hell.
Yes.
Violence. Do you remember Violence?
Violence, yes.
Yes.
People laughed it off. He was a laughingstock, but as I said, he made it work. I'm not confident that Master Wato is going to make it work, but we'll see about that.
We'll talk more about that in a second.
Yeah, but yes, so that was one main event with Evil. The second one was against Tetsuya Naito on Dominion. What did you think about that match?
I didn't like this either, to be honest with you.
I got to say, I thought the Okada match was way worse.
Yeah, I definitely thought the Naito match was better. I've seen some people say the Naito match is the worst of the year.
What?
But, yeah, I've seen multiple people say
that. Naito's worst match of the year,
No, Naito, it's the worst match in wrestling of the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, see, so
way worse than this.
Yeah, but somebody said, except for the WWE, like, what was that match they did last month?
Well, I didn't see
that. Yeah, one of the Money in the Bank matches or something. I don't know, like some sort of cinematic match they did. Definitely not the Boneyard match, because that was good. But everything else, those were all the worst, but this was the second worst, according to some people. But I agree with you, I thought the Naito match was definitely better than the Okada match. However, there were still a lot of problems with this. First of all, we have to get to the immediate point. Naito here.
Yes.
What did you think of his performance in terms of the man, his beloved Pareja that you told him, that you talked about earlier, his, you know, first right-hand man, the one that turned on him and betrayed him, he caught him off guard. What did you think of his reaction one night later after this horrible betrayal in this match?
You would have thought that he would just beat the ever-living shit out of Evil and make him bleed, but that didn't happen.
Yes, he wrestled a very similar match to how he always does.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a few, like there were minor differences, like
minor differences, you'd expect him, or in this situation, you'd expect the match to be a violent, bloody brawl. You know,
that's what it should have been. That's what it needed to be.
Yes,
like that's what it needed to be.
Naito should have worn jeans, shorts, and brought out a barbed wire bat and just beat Evil up.
I don't agree with that part. By the way, you were right the first time. But it needed to be that to really get Evil over, I think, as well, and help him get better. I also think that for Naito's part, everyone's going to say that his fans are going to be like, well, that's his deal. He's tranquilo. Like, okay, like that's cool and all, but what we really need to see is somebody who sells much like Hiromu did at the end of this, like who sells this horrible betrayal that because the fans of LIJ are so passionate, are so into LIJ and all of the members, that this hurt them. Like, I've seen it on Twitter. I know the Japanese fans are feeling the same. Milano Collection 18 feels the same, at ringside. Show me why it hurts you. Like, that's what will get the fans. Remember what I just said at the start of the show. Wins and losses don't matter in wrestling. It's how you make people feel. Mm-hmm. And what was there to latch onto for Naito here that makes you, and I know we're not, like, super LIJ fans, but if you were, what would get you behind Naito to rally behind him in this match, that he came out and just did his normal stuff, basically?
Yes, totally. I totally agree with you. What Naito had in mind, the character Naito had in mind, was going to his usual tactics. And I don't know about you, but I didn't really feel that the match was very heated. Even though, of course, the fans couldn't really do anything. We gotta take that into consideration, but still...
Okay, let me comment on that for a second, because I think that's another thing that hurt the match. Not to cut you off here, but on Evil's point, if you notice, especially early on, there was a lot of stuff you would see kind of like in Jay White matches,
mm-hmm.
where it would be... Yeah, he'd go out and stall a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The fans weren't allowed to cheer. Like during these shows, so these spots all died. Like it felt like,
and that was a huge problem with both Evil matches. There was a lot of stalling in both matches,
absolutely,
and also from Okada in the other match. Okada stalled a lot too.
Yes,
and we had Evil stalling a lot early on. I think they might have killed up to 8-9 minutes just by stalling around. And then you have the crowd part that can't really react. They tried. I think the crowd tried their best, and they made some spots they made work. For example, when you go to the chop sequence that Yujiro and Hiroki Goto did in their tag match where they clapped along with each chop. That was really nice. And they also clapped along with everything that Shingo and Sho did. That was nice too. But here, this match needed more crowd noise. And it didn't have the crowd noise, and then the way they worked the match, a lot of that stuff that they did died.
The only thing they got over was when he attacked Milano.
That got over huge, and that is something that can't go over well with a main event match when the things that are distracting from the match are the actual things that get over the most. You mentioned Milano jumping the rail because Evil broke this merchandise that Milano always brings along with him. And that was what got the best reaction of it. It was not Evil doing something to Naito. It was Evil turning on his biggest fan.
When we say it, you describe that scenario, it's so goofy. Like,
it's so
jumped the rail because he broke his merchandise. You know, like, what? I love it.
Yeah, he broke his plastic sickle.
I mean, if you were in the front row and somebody broke your merchandise, would you hop the rail?
No, I don't think so.
I would.
I
defend this. I defend my merchandise, especially if it was my hero that did. If it was like,
did you see this picture of this little child in Osaka Jo Hall with all the Evil merchandise, and after the turn, the child just cried?
Yeah, that was sad. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, the fans are so super attached to these guys, mm-hmm. Knights of Evil. Like, this is the most passionate fan base, perhaps, in all of wrestling. To the point where, some people even criticize the fans, which I don't do that. I think it's awesome that people care that much about this. Like, to me, kind of a silly group, but to what it means to other people, it means something beyond just wrestling. So to see a turn like that, I just thought there were some issues with it. And obviously, I think if Naito had finally turned up the heat, this was the time to not be Trunculo. It was time to fight. Fight for the fans, fight for what LIJ means, fight for you.
Everything that he believes in. LIJ is everything that he believes in because it was what made him what he is now.
Exactly. Like, that's what it should have been, but unfortunately that didn't come to pass. I get it about the gimmick. Like, I know some people are going to, come at us with that.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like this... That's not what the match needed. Like, I'm sorry. It's just not what this situation called for. It needed him to be fiery for the first time. And think of how much that would have meant if he had come out and attacked Evil right away, busted him open. That would have gotten over so huge for everybody. Like, that gif would have been pushed around online for a million times. But unfortunately, that never happened. And then, of course, so we have this kind of, like, drawn-out match where, like, the most exciting thing was Milano getting attacked. And then your favorite part of the match.
Yes! And that's another thing. That's also a part of the match that should have distracted from everything. But it came off so funny that it became the centerpiece of my attention, actually. So, Red Shoes went down. Was it the
of course
first? It was the first ref bump, right? I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah. Red Shoes went down. And after he had evicted the Bullet Club from the arena, to the shocking surprise of everybody, Yado returned to the ringside. He had his cane with him, and I was thinking, okay, is something happening now? And he was just slowly, very slowly walking towards the ring as all of the sudden Taiji Ishimori sprinted past him with his gleeful look on his face. Ha ha! I'm going to kill Naito now! I loved it. It was so
awesome.
Funny.
Yeah, that was totally awesome. Like, so, I completely agree with you. I love that.
So
part.
Ishimori came to the ring, attacked Naito, but was run off by Yujiro. Was run off by Hiromu Takahashi, of course. And
Yujiro turned too. He's in LIJ now.
all these Takahashis, damn it. So yeah, that was one of the major parts of that match, but of course it was not the final straw that they went to, because there was another ref bump, Dylan.
Of course. Also, before that, Evil just nailed Naito with this big chair shot right to the head.
Oh yeah, and very early in the match they also did the spot with the table outside where Evil did the shin breaker on Naito and he just went through the table, and I was thinking, what the fuck are you doing? So, The one thing is that Naito should have gone into this match with a different mindset, just wanting to beat Evil up. But he actually bumped his ass off to make Evil in this match.
He did, and a lot of people will give him credit for that. And there's no doubt that he probably had good intentions with that. I'm not saying he didn't work hard. I just think he needed to show more fire as the babyface of the company. So,
and he also needed to show some sense of being hurt by all the stuff that Evil did to him, and he did not. He just wrestled his regular match.
Absolutely. Like, that's the main point of all, is that, like, because that's what the fans felt. Like, you know, people really hurt because of this turn.
I mean, we just finished our Nakanishi series, and we talked about Nakanishi being so great when selling inside a submission hold.
Yes, the figure four.
Why couldn't they have gone to a great Sasori Gatame spot with, I don't know, Naito already bleeding, Evil goes for the Sasori Gatame, and Naito dramatically makes it to the ropes. I mean, they went for the Sasori Gatame, but it was not that dramatic.
No, it wasn't anywhere near as dramatic as, like, the Tanahashi and Nakanishi match. But, like, and we're not even, like, blood and guts type of guys, or especially not me. I'm not really even a fan of that style. But for this particular thing, like, somebody needed to get busted open. There needed to be some aggression. Mm-hmm. There needed to be some emotion that we needed to see, or some passion. But yeah, so there's another ref bump. Like, of course, there had to be two. And then who comes out but Bushi?
Big jacked up Bushi.
Yeah, so he looks nothing like Bushi. But he was wearing the Bushi mask, so it was Bushi at this point. Bushi comes out, quote-unquote, and turns on Naito. Naito's losing everything. The entire group is going to turn on him. But he helps out. And then, of course, what happens? Evil stomps him in the dick to continue his storyline. A very big prelude.
New signature move.
Yes, that's his big move from now. He was teasing us with what was to come.
Yeah.
So, he hits the STO. Huge upset here. What a match this was, like, overbooking. This reminded me of a Jeff Jarrett match. Like, we mentioned TNA before. That's what this was like. Like, there was guys running in from all over the place. A turn, and back-to-back turns, like, two nights. A guy that debuted in the company that hasn't been here in years and years. guys running past really slow old guys. Like, this had everything when it came to, even the announcer got beat up, like, at one point. So this match had everything. I'm part of that. 38 minutes of this match as well. Another thing, this did not need to be that long. And I don't understand why it was, but...
I don't know either.
Yeah, this wasn't a great match.
No, both matches weren't great. Both main event matches weren't great.
No.
And
no, not at all.
I don't know, and that's the thing where this all begins. We saw what Evil and the Bullet Club together mean in main event matches, and we're probably going to get a lot of these now.
Wow.
And...
Yes, that's the perfect way to describe it.
Just returning to my point from earlier on, everything the Bullet Club does is not about the guy actually main eventing and holding the championship. It's all about Ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
He is the centerpiece of attention because he is in the storylines with all the guys. He is in the storyline with Katsushika Okada when he was the heel manager for Jay White. He is now going to be the heel manager for Evil, and probably there's probably going to be a Naito versus Ghetto match down the line.
Wonderful. That's great.
Don't you believe that?
The one good thing is I say that they did keep him away from all of this in the match. They had someone else in mind for the junior understudy for Evil.
Maybe, but Ghetto is now going to become Dick Togo's manager.
I don't know about that, but we'll see. I hope that I hope that he's not what you say, but like you said, would anybody be surprised if that's exactly what happened based on the history of this company? And I don't know, man. Like I said, the match itself, all of the matches, I haven't really liked any of them. I haven't liked Evil in a long time. I've said this before. Like, it's really been over a year now since we've got an Evil match where I saw something in him. I don't know why it was. He wasn't booked very strong. Maybe he lost motivation, and maybe he can get it back, but maybe. Not in this way, you know.
Yeah, he was not in a main event level position with his approach to his wrestling matches against Okada and Naito. And then, Dylan, there's Zanada. What's happening with him now?
I don't know. It seems like he's gotten passed by multiple people at this point in the company. Let's just get into this post-match, because that kind of bridges into all of that.
Yeah.
So it's revealed that Bushi is unmasked as Dick Togo, of all people. I can't believe that this happened, to be honest with you. Like, Dick
crazy.
Togo? Yeah, this makes no logical sense at all. Like, to have Dick Togo team with Evil.
I mean, did you see Mort's post yesterday? He was just he wasn't on the internet for the last 2 weeks, and the first wrestling related picture that he saw was Evil holding both championships with Dick Togo on his side.
I mean, like everyone predicted.
Yes,
you know, it was the obvious choice, and this is what we got. But yeah, so it was clearly not Bushi. It was revealed as Dick Togo. And then, this was awesome. Like nobody talks about this part, but this was so hilarious to me. Hiromu comes running back down the aisle, and both of them scramble to get out of the way, because Hiromu is too much for them to handle. Like, these two guys here. That was so stupid, like I thought. Like, I like the idea of it, but couldn't he be at least had a weapon of some sort? Like a pipe or a chair or something like that? He just ran out.
He's the ticking time bomb. Of course he's dangerous.
I mean, he's awesome. Like, he's a great wrestler, but... And then, okay, so yeah, I thought that was goofy. But what happened next I thought was really great, actually.
Yes!
So they play his Evil's new music, which I like, by the way. Do you like the new music?
The new music is an absolute banger. Just the outfit totally sucks.
The outfit's horrible. Like, the outfit is absolutely terrible. Like, this was totally... He stole this from Awesome Kong.
Yeah, it's a mixture between Awesome Kong and a Roman gladiator on Halloween.
Yeah. Like, you're totally right. Another Halloween costume.
Shout out to W.H. Park too for that reference too.
Okay. But yeah, but definitely heavy Awesome Kong vibes. But the music is awesome. So I was a big fan of the new music. And I liked his old theme song, actually. But this new one was definitely very cool as well. So his music's playing, and Evil's kind of like, yep, I'm the man now. on the ramp, and then they cut to Hiromu in the ring, screaming in agony at this. Like, how could you do this? This was perfect. Like, this is exactly what we talked about with Naito.
Yes! That's the question. Why didn't Naito do that?
That would have made so much more sense.
Yeah.
And like, I get Naito's character and all. Like I said, everyone's going to say that immediately. But for the fans, that's like, the fans aren't being Trunculo about this. Hmm. Like, the people want to buy into it. It would be like, you know, if you're a diehard sports fan, and like my team, you know, like let's say my team makes the Super Bowl. The Panthers made the Super Bowl, which has happened multiple times, and they lost, which also happened in real life. I don't want to see guys laughing about it or guys who just don't care about it. Like, whatever. To me, I want to see guys that are pissed off about it and like are upset and hurt that they lost.
Yep.
Because that's what I feel as a fan. So when I see wrestlers, if my favorite guy loses, I don't want them to just shrug it off. I want them to sell it so I know that they're on the same page with me. And that's what LIJ is all about when you think about it, is that everybody's involved, you know, kind of. But that's not what Naito showed here. He did his own thing, and maybe it was true to his character, but what we needed was what Hiromu gave us. He was the voice of the fans here, crying out, no, why? How could this happen? Like, you stole everything. Like, you ruined everything in LIJ. That's what the fans feel. That's what we needed to see. And I thought Hiromu was, like, 10 stars here. Like, a great performance just by this little acting ability. To me, this was awesome and totally made me hyped to see what was going to happen next with Hiromu.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going for the championship on July 25.
I hate this. Evil? I hate this.
Why do you hate it?
It's so soon. Like, it's the same thing we saw multiple times already.
That was another point that I was going to make, actually, Dylan, when you talked about the title change happening one day after Evil turned. So New Japan, again, is a victim of the circumstances. Because let's say they planned for Evil to win the New Japan Cup and turn on Naito. That originally would have happened in April.
Yes.
And we talked about that on our other show that we did on this tournament. We think that we at least thought that they were going with most of the same directions that they were going to when they had to cancel all their shows. So that would have happened in April, and then they would have had May and June to build up to Dominion. That would have worked out so much better. And now they are already doing the Hiromu match, which is, I agree, very, very soon. And the thing is, they still have another tour in August, but if they are planning to do their regular schedule, as they seem to be, what Harold May said in Tokyo Sports, they just plan to do their regular schedule, they'll have to do the Super Junior Tour and the G1 Climax Tour too. So is there more room for this match to happen down the line? I don't think so.
No, we kind of mentioned in the last show that even this match, we were kind of speculating that this could be the last title defense before the G1, but they have this other one. It's too soon unless Hiromu wins, in which case it's still too soon, but I would love that if that happened. Remember, from a storyline perspective, like, Hiromu was a great worker, and I would always be happy, but from a storyline perspective, that would be great. To me, and like, that would set up so many different things, like, and Hiromu was a star and all of that, but just from a pure storytelling perspective, you want this to be stretched out a little bit more. Like, you want the revenge to come, but it's like, it's all moving forward within the span of a month. We're getting this great segment where Hiromu, you just want to see him, like, beat the hell out of this guy. Like, there's nobody alive that would watch the end of this show and not want Hiromu to go after Evil and, like, beat him. So I feel like it's just too soon. But like you said, the circumstances surrounding it really hurt them. But I did think that overall on all of this, the matches I didn't like. I didn't like either of them. I didn't like any of Evil's matches, really. The best one was Goto, and it had that really stupid finish that I didn't like. However, I appreciate, first of all, I love that they're doing something completely off the wall and different, which this was something nobody could have expected going into the tournament. You know, I think that's very cool that we're seeing different things in New Japan. As I said, everything is kind of stale heading into this. Now, for whatever reason, pandemic, maybe it was the original plan, I don't care, it happened. So we're seeing new stuff tried. I like that. Is Evil the right guy? Time will tell. I personally am not confident in that, based on these matches here, and just him in general, I just don't think he was at that level. I think, again, maybe circumstances had something to do with this, but I didn't feel like Evil got appropriately built up to this. We talked about it on our Nakanishi show, again, on the Patreon. He was the one I brought up as, you know, this was a total surprise when he won the title. Like, nobody thought that he was going to win. And we hadn't really seen anyone like that until then, and it just so happens that now this happens. And to me, I would classify him as the most surprising champion since Nakanishi won the title.
Know. They broke the mold. Definitely, they did.
And I appreciate that. I think that's a good thing. But we'll just have to see where it works. What do you think of Evil here? What is an appropriate time length for this title reign? Because it's possible that he beats Hiromu, and this goes right back to either Naito or Okada. You can't put him in the Dome main event, to be honest. Like, I can't imagine that happening.
But who else? I mean,
not him.
I mean, they strapped him now. And thinking about New Japan title runs in the last couple of years, I don't see them taking the belt off him in a span of 3 months.
We've seen a situation before at one point where somebody won the title in July and then dropped it in October.
Yeah, that's true.
But this is a different situation right now. So we don't really know what's going to happen. But to me, him as Dome main event, I just think, like, he's not ready for that. And he's not at that level with the fans.
I think they are just counting on the fans buying into the LIJ storyline.
So that would mean Naito wins the G1?
That means Naito wins the G1, and they do Naito and Evil in the Dome main event.
Well, that's a brave move, in my opinion, to main event with Evil. So it'll be interesting to see how that happens. I'm not convinced that Evil keeps this title. I can't believe
it. I don't think you buy that Hiromu is winning. That's not going to happen.
No. I don't know. He's definitely not going to be the main event yet. Like, he's not ready for that. But, like, I would love that if that happened. But that's why I don't like this title match. I think it would have been much better if they had saved this title, or not even a title match, let their first match be in the G1. Like, you know, like, big main event match, Evil versus Hiromu. Mm. That could even be, like, the opening night of the G1.
Yes.
Like, Hiromu versus Evil is the main event. That would be awesome. And you could have, it would be much more viable that Hiromu could win and, you know, build something out of himself from there. To have it now at Sengoku Lord, I just thought it was way too soon. So, you think that he's going to keep the title till the Dome, or even longer.
I mean, I just don't see when they would do another title match. They could do one right after the G1 climax.
You're right.
November or December, but it's also the time frame of World Tag League.
That's right.
So
it's tough. You know, you're what you're saying is very logical. I just like Evil in the main event is just like, I think it's possible Okada wins the G1 as well. You have to keep that in mind that Okada.
That's also possible. But maybe they'll also just drop the World Tag League and do King of Pro Wrestling in November or December.
That would make sense, you know, close to the January 4th show, but that would make sense if they especially if they feel that way. And who knows what's going to happen? Like, you know, at this point, nobody could have predicted Evil and Bullet Club in this main event. So to me, we're playing by completely different rules right now than if things were in normal situations. So who knows what they're going to do, really? Like, can you count anything off the table after this?
No.
You know?
You can't. And then there's Tetsuya Naito losing the title.
Yes. I was going to bring that up, so I'm glad you did.
After the great moment of Wrestle Kingdom 14, and I don't know about you, Dylan, but I wasn't bothered by it in any sense of it happening. And I think that John of Wrestling Omakase also put it perfectly on his Twitter, as he said, nothing is ever going to erase what happened at Wrestle Kingdom 14. And I think that's true. I think the moment of Tetsuya Naito winning was much more important than the eventual title run.
I think that's true. That's really for the fans to decide. I'm not a LIJ super fan, so I can't really speak on that. for like, it was cool for me to see them so happy. I even wrote an article about it on Voices of Wrestling. Yep. I got published on there about that crazy match with Naito and Okada for a guy I'm not even that big of a fan of, but it meant something to me to see all the fans so happy over it. So I've always considered myself like not really an LIJ fan, but an LIJ ally, kind of, you know, like pretty much. So that moment was amazing for a lot of people, but to me, if you, just my personal opinion, it wasn't what it would have been 2 years ago. Like, that's really how I feel about it. If you remember, that show did a very disappointing, draw a house for the second Dome show. So to me, it wasn't what it could have been. It wasn't going to be what it could have been. Like, the LIJ fans are happy he won the titles. Like, that's great. But to me, from a business perspective, there was a lot more on the table for Naito, and it's really mind-boggling to me, all these years that we've had him, the LIJ Naito, the biggest star in New Japan, they never went with him fully. And I wonder what could have been if he had had a real run. And this one was messed up because of the pandemic, obviously, but from a business perspective, I think they dropped the ball a lot with him, actually. I think it could have been a lot better, and I think there was a lot more stories to tell with him as champion, to be honest with you. Like,
maybe there were, but I think with Naito, they are just betting that the fans are buying more into the chase than into him being an actual top champion.
It's going to be hard to sell that after he's
won
the title.
That's true.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, maybe you're right. I think that maybe they just feel like that LIJ is beyond wins and losses, and the fans will love them no matter what, which may be true. Yeah, that very well could be true. But I feel like no matter how this goes, it's always going to be in the back of my head. Like, what if they went all the way with this guy and pushed him like they do Okada, who has never gotten more over than Naito, like, despite all of that? Yeah. Like, what could have happened? Like, we'll never know now, because I think it's, like, the days of him being that guy, like, the chase is over. His real goal, his number one goal of New Japan, to win both the titles at the Tokyo Dome, has come, and beating Okada at the Tokyo Dome, they blew that off this year, too. So that's not there anymore, either. They're going to have to create something new for him, which appears to be this evil thing, which would be a very personal story, and maybe that could be when he shows that fire. Like, he's saving that for a Dome match they've already planned out that we don't know about. I really feel like that they left a lot on the table with him. I think there was a lot more left for him. And if this is just going to, if he's going to win this title back in a month or 2 months or one defense later, then I don't understand this title change.
Isn't that actually what they do?
A lot of times, they often do that.
Yeah, with Okada.
Tanahashi, Jay. Okada probably had one like that, too. I'm not really remembering it specifically, but I think you're right with Okada. But regardless, they've done it with a lot of people. Like, this very short title reigns. I'm not really a big fan of it. I wish that Naito had gotten a longer reign from a business perspective.
Just look at the first run that Naito had. He won it from Okada, and Okada won it right back.
That's right. He had like one minor defense against Ishii. His only, and Ishii is still owed that well-deserved title. I just want to point that out right now.
You can cash it in now.
Now is the time versus evil. Yeah. Who knows what the way things are gone now? He might win.
Naito's first reign was 70 days.
Yeah, see? That was always my problem. I always thought that was a really stupid title reign.
It was.
Like, so you're arguing that these other stupid things are happening, so it kind of justifies this silly thing happening, and I just think it all sucks. So, like, I'm not really a big fan. I don't think it, like, killed him or anything, or, like, New Japan's gonna die now because Evil's the champion. I just think that they left something on the table with Naito, and maybe... I like that they put something, they did something different, you know, that nobody expected. I'm always going to defend that and appreciate that for whatever the reasons are, but still, I'm always going to remember this. What if they went with Naito all the way? Yeah. You know, so that's really how I am about that.
Yes, I'd say that's ultimately it. We'll have to wait and see what happens when in the Hiromu match. Sanada is still somewhat in the limbo because we don't know what his intentions are. Is he joining Evil? Is he staying with LRJ? We'll see about that.
Maybe he'll win the G1.
Maybe.
So not an Evil in the Tokyo Dome.
All right, two out of three falls. 96 minutes.
Let's just say now, we're still a long way away from this. We're still a couple of months away from G1. But who do you think is the favorite to win this now? Where we stand?
With all that, what happened this weekend, I say Naito.
I think Naito makes the most storyline sense, but I said this to somebody on Twitter. You could never, ever bank against Okada. Like, that's really what I feel like. Yeah. But they went against him here as well with the New Japan Cup. They kind of went with him on the Dome. It's like they put him and Naito in the main event anyway, when a lot of people, including you, said that they wouldn't. That was a very logical perspective to save that match for this year. But they didn't do it. They went with Okada anyway. They really didn't have to, but they did anyway. So I really don't think you can count out Okada. That would be a very flat main event to me, Okada and Evil. But Naito and Evil, I think, has to be considered the favorite at this point. I would have to agree with you, actually. I would love if Hiromu won, which is why I wish they would have not done this title match here. But, you know, we'll see how it goes overall. That's just speculation. We're so far away, nobody can really say for sure at this point.
Let's drop another name. I saw people mentioning Shingo Takagi, and they said that they would have wanted Shingo Takagi to be in Evil's position now. A, yes, I would have loved that too, but B, as we pointed out, Evil made total sense to be the one to turn on Naito. But what about Shingo Takagi in the G1 Climax?
Yeah, this storyline isn't about match quality. It's about, like you said, like we said, Evil being the first guy for Naito. So it's a storyline, not about the matches, pretty much. Shingo winning G1? I don't see that.
I mean, it wouldn't really make storyline sense right now, would it? He wasn't there either in the main event.
No, it really wouldn't make sense. And he's a new guy, like, in the company, relatively speaking. He's kind of old, actually, but a new guy, in New Japan. I don't think he's going to win the G1, but still, he'll have great matches, and that's really where I see his future. We still got a lot of time for G1. We don't even know how many people's going to be in this tournament, so it'll be interesting to see how things play out. We don't even know if Evil's going to keep the title. They may have another title match, and he drops it to Naito or Okada, or they split up the titles somehow, which that's another thing that people have talked about. How long are these titles going to stay together?
That's a great question, because, I mean, they promote the Never Openweight title so heavily now that it has kind of taken the position of the IC title before. I don't know if they'll ever split them up again, to be honest.
I agree. I think it should just stay as the Double Crown. Like, let it be what it is. We don't need them to split up. The Never title's doing just fine.
Yeah, we have been advocating so long for them just getting rid of one of those titles. We've always talked about the Never title because it didn't really make any sense in what it used to be. But now that they seemingly are more open to using juniors in main eventing positions, we see it with Hiromu. And I can also see Taiji Ishimori and others like Sho playing viable roles in the company. The Never Openweight title being around makes much more sense than the IC title.
Absolutely. And with Lion's Break, maybe the US title has a new role on that show too. You know, so now you've got the US title having a role as the main event title on Lion's Break. So now we've kind of reshuffled the deck a little bit with the titles. I think the double crown is perfect. I don't know about you, but I was always a huge fan of the Triple Crown, the original one with the three belts. I think just having multiple belts is a great look. Evil currently a three-time champion, by the way, right now. Not counting the six-man tag titles that he has right now.
Let me actually read from the interview that he did earlier today. Yeah. So, first of all, he was asked on his thoughts of Los Innombrables de Japón, and he just said, "Aren't they all just plain rotten?" Question mark. Then he was asked about the Never Six-Man Tag Team title, and he said, "I don't want the belt I have with those bastards."
Ooh, he hates them too much.
Yes.
I would have made it to where he defends the title, but he sits on the outside, like on commentary, and makes the other two wrestle. And he's like, so he carries this around just to hold the title, but if he loses it, he doesn't really care. He's just there to make them wrestle. Like, and then, like, as soon as they lose, he runs in and attacks and beats the hell out of both of them.
Exactly, because they lost.
Exactly. Like, he doesn't give a crap at all, but when they lose, he attacks them. And you can even set up, like, a title match or something with
that. Yeah, you could totally set up that. That was my idea here, too,
Yes.
You could
do that. That would have been a great angle, but it didn't make sense to have them tagging otherwise, so I don't mind it. I just thought that would have been kind of cool.
I mean, they might as well phase out the title now.
It doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter.
This is the titles. No.
So, yeah, that is basically it when you talk about the main event picture.
Yeah.
What else is there from the first show of this week, New Japan Cup Final, July 11? Dylan, what did you like on this show?
Nothing.
I thought it was a very decent show.
Yeah, there was nothing like terrible on it. No. What did you think? The big news, though, that we have to talk about is one man.
Yes.
The master. Master Wato made his auspicious debut against Doki in a match that we were all waiting for. What did you think of Master Wato's debut?
I mean, I got to say we have a new extension to the Cage Match database, so now it is pretty much possible to rate any match that ever aired. And we have some ratings for some of these New Japan matches too on Cage Match. For example, Master Wato against Doki has a rating of 6.22, and that's about the range that I would put it to. It was a decent debut for Master Wato going over Doki. It was a fine match with Doki. Actually, and I gotta say, I think this was the first time that he ever worked in such a big building and in front of such a great crowd, except I don't know if he has ever worked in Mexico in front of a 3,000 fans crowd, but I don't think so. but he actually looked good in being the heel to hold down Master Wato, and eventually Master Wato made his comeback. He did some new moves, and his Tornillo Press is now known as the RPP, whatever that stands for. I thought the Tornillo Press looked nice. He looked all right in his return, but nothing that screamed superstar to me. And they slotted him in a way that you know where he is going to be for the foreseeable future. Because after the match, he got attacked by Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Doki. And Hiroyoshi Tenzan came to his return. So he's now being slotted with the regular army in New Japan. And yeah, we see that he is on an undercut tag on the next show. Let me see. Wato. Oh, he's actually... Oh, not in an uncut cut. He's actually in a semi-main event in Kirkland Hall. Tanahashi, Ibushi, Nagata, and Wato against Minoru Suzuki, Taichi, and Zack Sabre Jr. and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. And then he's in a mid-card tag on the Zengoku Lord show. So, yeah, he's going to be a guy on the card.
You down with RPP?
I have no idea what RPP stands for. I don't know. What
does it mean? Yeah, you know me. Okay, see, that reference went over your head. Okay. Yeah, okay. But, so, Wato. He kind of did a lot of these, like, quote-unquote martial arts type of moves, these kicks. Mm-hmm. Maybe, he threw a kind of buzzsaw kicks at one point, did a tornado kick at one point.
Let's just say he's not good at it.
He's totally the wrong guy for this gimmick. That's yes. All. Not him at all. You know, like, if you had and I'm a martial artist, but I don't consider myself an expert or anything. But, you know, if you had, like, a black belt, you know, martial artist, like, you know, wushu master, which is kind of what he's supposed to be, this guy would get, like, laughed out of the building by with his martial arts ability, supposedly. Like, it's just not him. He was never that guy when he was a young lion. So I don't know, like, why they've attached this gimmick to him. And his finisher is this, infrared move, which is, it looks great. Like, it's like, you know, like you said, a spiral tap that AJ Styles used to do.
Yep.
It's that move. It's great, but it doesn't really fit his martial arts gimmick at all.
Is it supposed to be a martial arts gimmick when he also does a lot of lucha sequences?
That's true. I will say, too, about him, he looked a lot better here than he did in Mexico.
Agreed.
Yeah, this was definitely a lot better. And I've always said this. See, if you listen to Lucha Talk, I said this from the beginning. And, like, Fredo was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. He sucks. But I was telling him, I was like, he's totally miscast as a heel, like, as a Rudo. Like, he was always way better as a young lion in Japan. So I really am happy that he's back in that role, at least. Like you said, he does some Lucha stuff. And also, Doki is a Lucha-themed type of guy as well. So yeah. They kind of worked well together. The gimmick is what it is. And I think it's kind of unfair that they gave him this, because he was already, the minute he walked out, it's like everyone had determined that this guy was a meme wrestler, pretty much. And that's not really fair, because he actually looked alright in this match. He wasn't bad at all. He deserves a little more time to grow, and unfortunately, with this gimmick and look and the name and everything, he's never going to escape this. I feel like it's going to be really, really hard to grow into anything else.
But exactly, that is the point. Usually when they bring back a guy that came back from Mexico, they give him a gimmick, and they usually give him a push right away, going for whatever championship he can go for, and then they go with him. The last time that something... No, even El Desperado had a great debut against Kota Ibushi for the junior title.
Right.
So, yeah, they pretty much told you where he's going to be for the next couple of months in the foreseeable future, as he's going to feud with the Suzuki-gun juniors, and they're not exactly the top of the division either.
No, it's fine. Like,
I'm just glad he's not a wizard.
That is true. I guess martial artist is better than wizard.
But I still don't know what he's supposed to be.
Well, it's clear that he's supposed to be like a kick-based guy.
Yeah.
Like, he does some lucha stuff, but like really he's more like that. Especially with his presentation as the Grandmaster. He strikes his pose at the top
rope. Did you see what his actual nickname is? He's Master Wato, and his nickname is Way to the Grandmaster. That's a catchy nickname.
Oh, I mean, you can just imagine the fans chanting that. Like, the entire Tokyo Dome is going to stand up and chant, Way to the Grandmaster!
That totally works out.
Yes, like, amazing chant potential for Tokyo Dome. But, yeah, like you said, he slotted where he's at. I didn't mind his debut at all. I thought he actually worked pretty good. Doki was good as well in his role. He was pretty solid as well. I liked the match. It wasn't anything special. It wasn't like, oh my god, this talent that they're wasting away.
No.
Like, it was like, oh, okay, like, this guy's actually pretty good. I wish he got a fair chance, but... Mm-hmm. He didn't kill, it's not like I'm going to be losing sleep over, and he has a chance to be a solid undercard guy, which is kind of where we speculated, maybe even like a fun underdog, too, that we might get to see a taste of in that 8-man tag match that you mentioned. I would like to see what he does against somebody like Suzuki. Did you say he was in that match?
Yeah, Minoru Suzuki, he was out on this weekend due to fever, but he is supposed to return on July 20 in Kuroken Hall.
Okay.
So apparently not a COVID situation.
Okay, good stuff there.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see what Wato does against somebody like that who can really beat him down and make him an underdog type of guy. I think that could be a really good role where he shines in. But let's see where he goes from here. Maybe they can tweak the look, too, to make it a little more serious. That would be good. But like you said, I don't have much hope for him being a main player or anything, but he could be a serviceable mid-card, undercard. I kind of like a babyface version of Yujiro.
Yeah.
Well, that's like all these years, you know?
I mean, I don't know if you've seen Lion's Break with the debut of Russ Taylor, but he threw some great kicks in that match. So if they wanted a guy with a background where the guy can actually throw strikes, they should have gone with Russ Taylor and debut him as, Master Rusty.
Give him some blue hair,
yeah.
And you're on the way. The way to the Grandmaster is Russ Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so that is the show. What stood out to me on this one was, once again, Togi Makabe. He seems to be behind the Young Lions, the generation of Young Lions they have now in Yota Tsuji and Yuya Uemura, because especially for Uemura, Makabe was taking some huge bumps and bumping a lot more than he usually does. So I like that.
Honma, too, actually looked quite a bit more spry than usual. A bit more energetic, at least.
Yes.
So they were into this. I think the fans coming back, too, probably had a good effect on everybody on this card.
It was so great to finally see fans back in attendance. This was the first match that we saw with fans again in New Japan. And it was just so great to see reactions to what the Young Lions do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a shame they didn't let them go all out and cheer and react and stuff.
You can't do that right now.
Yeah. Does it really... What difference does that make if you're wearing the mask, I wonder?
The reason they can't cheer right now is because while you cheer, you'll spit out, like, this mini aerosols. And the reason that can't happen is because viruses might be on these aerosols that could go through the air. And because it's an inside venue, the air can't really be changed unless the vending or the air conditioning is very good. But I don't think that is in an arena like this.
Oh, okay. Well, still, it was good to have them back, and I think that gave everyone a little bit more motivation.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, otherwise, the card was fine. I really liked Gabriel Kidd on this weekend, picking the fights with the New Japan Dads. All other matches basically were fine. Six-man, eight-man tag matches, but nothing that really blew anything away. Good sequences between Sho and Shingo again, building up their title match on the day after. But I guess that was that.
Yeah.
So then we had the IWGP Tag Team title match in the semi-main event of Dominion. Zack Sabre Jr., who, by the way, we gotta say that, has still not said any word on the entire speaking out movement. And that is absolutely despicable. As we said it on the last show, when it hits close and you don't say anything, that's just an absolutely bad look. We just have to say that.
Especially when you're the one that's the first one to speak out on everything else.
Yes.
When, you know.
And we mentioned that on our last show, and he still has not said anything.
Well, he won't say anything at this point.
Not at this point, no.
No. Still has that suplex branding
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that tells you everything, that he's not going to say anything.
Yeah, exactly. So no pressure. Well, there should be a lot of pressure. But the fact that they deleted everything when they went on Twitter about that Ask Him, yeah, like that kind of tells you that there's no pressure on him, really, to say anything. So they won the titles, though.
Exactly. Zack Sabre Jr., Taichi, won the titles over Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi. I thought this was a great match.
Oh, okay. It's about 30 minutes here. Mm-hmm. Interesting match. Taichi and Zack have a lot of fun chemistry together as a team. I think a lot of people really like them. I like them too. I think that's a really good use of Taichi, actually, to wrestle in this tag team. Good use of Zack too, who they've tried to tease him as a main eventer very briefly. It didn't really catch on too much, but I think he's very good in a role with a tag team. I know I always wanted him and Suzuki to have a big run with the team, but this is good too. They work well together. Really good feud they built up with Tanahashi and Ibushi. I love the way they had them all wrestle each other in the cup. Taichi actually beat both members of the team. A really strong push for Taichi right now, beating both main eventers and the tag team title. Well, winning the tag title.
Yeah, I did not see this coming. I was thinking this would be a regular build to a tag title match where in the singles tournament he defeats one of the... Oh, he actually defeated two of the tag team champions. And then they would get their win back, but New Japan went in a different direction and they are going all out with their pushes right now.
They just made a terrible mistake not having that Taichi Adoki tag title challenge that I wanted. Another thing here, I don't love that Ibushi and Tanahashi don't get a very good reign out of this as well.
Yeah.
Much like Naito, I think they left a lot on the table with these guys. And I like them as a team a lot better than I like Evil as champion, but... Like, that doesn't mean that... Like, that doesn't say anything about them. The problem is that Ibushi and Tanahashi should have had a big run to build up these titles. Now it's like they're kind of back in... Now, with all the foreigners gone, the cards lightening up a little bit, maybe it could still be a main event title? I don't know. They've really pushed Taichi hard. Like, maybe they have that plan in mind. But to me, these guys aren't Tanahashi and Ibushi. As a team, like no offense to them,
they are not, but they are a great tag team. I gotta say,
yeah, like I said, I like them a lot better than Evil as champions. It's not about them. I just think from a star perspective, they needed to really establish these titles because they've been down in the dumps for so long with Evil and Sonata and G.O.D. having a million matches that nobody cares about.
Yeah,
for the titles,
absolutely, and I don't know why they couldn't just have done the same match in 6 months with Dangerous Techers winning then.
That would have been perfectly fine.
Would have been perfectly fine because if you look at the reign that Golden Aces had, they won the titles and they didn't have a single title defense because of all the cancellations. And they lost it right back now to Dangerous Techers. So I agree with you that they should have had some good semi-main eventing title defenses to... Yeah, really build up the tag team title because, as you said, it has been so low in New Japan. For the match itself, I actually thought this was the... It's close, actually, in my opinion, and it's close on Cage Match 2. We have it at 8.53, and Shingo versus Sho is at 8.75. So I basically liked both matches on a similar level. I'd still go with Shingo and Sho over this match slightly, but I really loved how they approached this match with the tag title in the limbo, because the Golden Aces, they tried to work together as a team. They even have this move that they are calling the Golden Blade now, where it's basically they pick up the guy and do a double elbow drop on him, which is supposed to be somewhat of a sling blade, which actually looks kind of goofy. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the move. I love the name.
But yeah, the name is great, but the move is not. So yeah. It didn't really come together for Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi as a tag team, whereas on the other side, Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. worked together so well with their tactics. They had to isolate Tanahashi and Ibushi from one another, and especially when they had Hiroshi Tanahashi in the situation where Taichi held onto him and Zack Sabre was doing dragon screws on both of his legs, which was a great sequence, actually, in my opinion. And the finish, in my opinion, was built up well, too, with the Tensho Zack driver they did, with Zack having him in the Michinoku driver position and Taichi doing his super kick on Tanahashi. So I like that finish too. And it's a surprising finish. Let's see where they go with that. They definitely can't like main event big shows with these two as champions.
Yeah.
Unless they go against the Golden Aces again.
That's true. They could definitely do a rematch. I don't want them to win the title, like flip-flop the titles or anything.
Yeah.
Somebody said that about Naito and Evil too, and I was like, I'm not a big fan of like flip-flopping the titles like that. We just talked about that with Nakanishi. Like I said, we're going back into this 11-year-old playbook this title right here. But the finish was cool. Like you said, I like the tag team work from Taichi and Zack. It was a good match. Something that bugged me was like Ibushi was on the outside for so long to set up this finish, and then you had the Iron Fingers coming in and all of that stuff. That stuff's never going to count. It just, these 30 minutes isn't really what I want to see from Taichi and Zack.
Yeah.
Like, they're a good team. I thought the other match was definitely better, to be honest. So this was a good match. Like, this wasn't a bad match at all, but 8.5 to me is pretty high. I'd be more like a 7.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be where I'm at.
I liked it very much. I didn't really... The cool. Match length didn't really bother me because I was just buying into Dangerous Taka's work so much, and I really thought that you made a great point of Taichi being better in this situation.
Yeah.
This plays to his strengths much more than being a singles wrestler. He has some cool looking moves now, and I gotta say that this was a situation where his strikes actually landed well. Yes.
Some of them did,
yes.
But then some of them didn't, but also they made that work, because remember, you mentioned the part where the fans were clapping along, and it was set up with Taichi doing these lame kicks on Ibushi that Ibushi appropriately no-sold, and it kicked him way harder,
yes.
And the crowd started to clap along with it. So even that actually worked for me
in
this tag match. Yeah, see,
yeah.
But some of them were good, too, and all of those matches, like, some of them are good, sometimes it's like, it's like... sub Watto level.
Yeah,
I love strikes.
Then again, his backdrop looks cool too. So in this tag team setting, he's good actually.
Yeah, he's fine. This team's a good team. This was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, so I'm totally fine with them winning the titles. It's just the booking that I dislike because I think they just left so much on the table.
So when you go to match lengths, this was the second longest match of the show, and the third longest match was Shingo Takagi defending the NEVER Openweight title against Sho. And, of course, this match was right down your alley, I guess.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like you said, the only problem with this is that they had a better one, like just a couple of weeks ago.
I was thinking the same, yeah.
Yeah.
The match in the New Japan Cup was way better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah.
Like it was a very good match. You know, they did a cool stuff where, like, at one point... Like, basically, they did this really cool sequence where, like, he was going from Made in Japan, but then turned it around into this, like, facebuster move. I thought it was pretty cool. Then he finally did hit the Made in Japan. But then he hit a pumping bomber and Sho kicked out at one. I thought it was actually really well timed, the one count kick out by Sho. And then that set up him finally looking for the Last of the Dragon, but then Sho countered that, rolling through into the cross arm breaker. So you had some cool stuff there. I just don't think any of this stuff had the same, the same oomph as the first match that we saw in the tournament. Did you notice, too, that one more thing, though, I want to say. Did you notice how Shingo did the GTR?
And they even call it the GTR. In the ropes,
but it was. That's what it was. Yeah, it was in the ropes, but that's what it was, the GTR. So Goto, his presence is felt, even when not the champion.
Yeah, he's always going to be the never open weight champion of all.
Yes, even if he's not in the matches, he's spiritually there.
You know, the match, as you said, it was not like the New Japan Cup match, and usually when they do stuff like that, people always tend to say they left something on the table for the second match. But actually, this was kind of the reverse situation of this, where they did more in the New Japan Cup than they did here. I kind of missed a more fiery finishing sequence.
Yeah.
Because it was just over at some point. Shingo just put him up in the rack and then hit the Last of the Dragon for the finish, and that was it. And that came right after Sho had this fiery one count kick out, where he then had this glancing look on his face. And the idea maybe was that he was done after that, but to me it felt like it was cut short a bit.
Yeah, like I said, it is what it was. Like I said, and if you remember, he made a counter right after that one count. Like I said, that was an awesome moment, but he did have the cross arm breaker right after that. So maybe he was out, maybe I don't know, but I agree with you completely about the finish. It was a little too definitive, you know what I'm saying? For this kind of match, you would have liked to have seen something to where it was in a little more doubt. It was like, okay, he put him away, and now he's in my rear view. there's nothing to really continue on right now. I mean, later on down the line, you'll still always have this feud. But it was like, okay, this issue is settled. He's defeated the Sho, and that's it, pretty much. So I would have liked to have been... Maybe controversy is the wrong idea with so much going on in the main event. And even in the semi-main event, we saw a weapon tactic. But maybe something like, he hits the Last of the Dragon, but somehow is like his arm is under the ropes or something like that. Like something to give Sho a little bit of an out that they could go for later on. Or maybe not blatant cheating, but just something that gives Sho a little bit of an out. I would have liked to have seen that here. Just make sure that that's always in the back of mind, that Sho is going to come and get him eventually. Especially since we know his partner is going to be out for a long time. That tag team's done. Sho's a singles guy now. This left him really in no man's land, because it's like he lost his main feud right now, and it's hard to justify him getting another shot. But it's New Japan. If they want to go back to him, they can. even if it doesn't make a lot of sense. But still, I think this was a little too definitive, and the finish just kind of came, and that was that, pretty much.
Yeah, even the junior heavyweight title isn't around right now.
That's right. Yeah, because Hiromu was locked up in the heavyweights. It's kind of tough right now for Sho. But he'd be a great person if Hiromu does. Hiromu's probably moving up to heavyweight soon. Yeah. But when he does, Sho would be a great successor to that junior division.
He would. Well, except for that, we had, of course, Yujiro and Taiji Ishimori going over Katsuhiko Okada and Hiroki Goto, with Yujiro, of course, being heated up against Katsuhiko Okada, scoring the pinfall over Hiroki Goto. Match was fine.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
He hit Yujiro. Another thing you mentioned in the semi-main event, they attacked Ibushi after the match, too, just to set that behind. Another feud that's like, okay... This feud is definitively over. We beat them. We beat them down. We beat them in the tournament. Uh-huh. We cannot beat them anymore than we've done.
Yes.
Pretty much. So, this one, Yujiro won the match over Goto. He used the pimp juice to win. And then hit the pimp juice to Okada. With Yujiro and Ishimori standing tall at the end. I agree with you. Ishimori would make a fine heavyweight, even though he's very short. He's so muscular that it doesn't matter that much. And he's just a good worker that it doesn't matter that much. So I would like to see that too.
I don't know about you, but I don't really like the pimp juice as a finishing move. I think it doesn't look very convincing. I like the Miami Shine and the Tokyo Pimps better.
Tokyo Pimps is the best one, to me. That was a great move, but this, the pimp juice is not as cool as those, either of those moves.
I think he may have some problems with hitting pimp juice on tall guys like Okada and Goto.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like you said, Yujiro, a former junior, you know, the...
The Tokyo Pimps and the Pimp Juice, yeah.
Tokyo Pimps. Yeah, because the Tokyo Pimps, I was going to say, like, that, you have to lift them over your head to slam them down. It's like the King Kong Buster.
Yeah.
So that's really hard to hit. Miami Shine is another one. It's like you got to lift a guy up and swing him around maybe...
Somewhat of the Lightning Spiral that Masato Yoshino
does. Yeah, it's like a lifting version of the Lightning Spiral. Yes. Like the Lightning Spiral, you can just hit. That should be his move.
Yeah.
Just a grounded version of the Lightning Spiral. That way, you could hit it on anybody.
Yep, you could. Yeah, so I agree that Yujiro looked good in here to be heated up against Okada. Then we had Suzuki Gun, El Desperado, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Doki defeating Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Master Wato, and Yuya Uemura. Pinche Loco from Desperado against Uemura. What do you think about El Desperado now being the challenger to Shingo Takagi?
Yeah, we didn't mention that part. He attacked Shingo after the match was show.
I was expecting someone to attack Shingo Takagi, but I was not expecting Desperado to be the one.
I don't like how they set up this huge turn with Evil and Naito, and then on the next tour, it's like we've got a Chaos and LIJ match, and Desperado challenging Shingo. Like, wait a minute. wait a minute.
Well, they will also have a LIJ versus Bullet Club match in Kuroken Hall.
Oh, okay.
On July 20. So that's the main event for that show. Naito, Hiromu, and Bushi against Evil, Dick Togo, and Taiji Ishimori.
Yeah. Sengoku Lord, though, it's like, we have this, the big show has the LIJ and Chaos match. So it's like, we're kind of going backwards. You think it would be... Like, the LIJ Bullet Club match should be a feud, kind of, you would think, but who knows?
Part of it is that Shingo Takagi also is in a title match on that Sengoku Lord show, and that Sanada hasn't really done anything to oppose Bullet Club yet.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're pretty much waiting for how that turns out with these two guys.
I would have rather it been Ishimori that attacked Shingo. That would at least make sense with the storyline.
Mm.
But Desperado and him will be a fine match, too. Desperado looked good against Ishii, and I'm sure this one will be very good, too.
I mean,
Shingo's an amazing worker, so you get a great match with anybody.
It's going to be a great match, and probably not going to be a title change, but so they can still do Shingo Takagi versus Taiji Ishimori down the line.
Yeah, that would be fine. Like I said, I just don't know how many... Like, if Hiromu loses this match and Naito's not challenging Evil, like, where does this feud go with Bullet Club and LIJ?
Hmm. Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough, you know? But the match should be good, at least. Like, that's the main thing I care about, personally. Like, the good wrestling. Give me Desperado and Shingo. It doesn't have to fit a storyline. It's fine.
Yeah. Other stuff on that show, the regular undercard stuff with all the guys that weren't used in the main pictures. Sanada, Hiromu, and Bushi defeated Ishii, Yano, and Yota Tsuji. Once again, a crap hold from Takahashi against Tsuji. I still don't know about that, but it looked better than the one that he did on the New Japan Cup Tour.
Yeah, not a huge fan of that, but I was a huge fan of Hiromu with the Y written on his wrist tape.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did. It was awesome. That's really great care for detail, and that's what we need.
Hiromu's just... He's just I love awesome. Hiromu, man. Like, he's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, he is. Also, Yuji Nagata, Satoshi Kojima, and Ryusuke Toguchi defeated Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, and Gabriel Kidd. Nagata looked good here against Gabriel Kidd. I really like the fire that Gabriel Kidd has shown lately.
Yeah, he's looked good. I'm a fan of this guy. All the young lines. Uemura, I think, looks really good. He's really hitting his stride right now. Tsuji as well had that great comedy spot with Hiromu. Good match with Makabe. The young lions are coming along really well right now.
I was thinking that Uemura is right on the verge of graduating from the young lion status. The thing about him is right now that he can't do an excursion.
Yeah, that's kind of an issue.
So they would have to shuffle their regular booking around. Maybe he can be in the... Or is he too big for the Super Juniors right now? I don't know.
He's beefed up.
Yeah.
Since the pandemic.
Maybe he can still be in the tournament. I don't know. But they'll have to find a solution for him graduating eventually if they can't do an excursion.
I have no clue how this is all going to play out. Like, the pandemic is such a question mark worldwide.
Mm.
I can't even speculate on it, man. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen, who's going to open up countries, who's going to travel, what they're going to want to do. There are so many question marks, I can't imagine it. If you put a gun to my head and ask me what they're going to do, I think that they'll probably try and hope that one of the places are able to send him to excursion, even if it's just to be on the U.S. show they've got going on.
I don't know about that. I don't know if it's a wise decision to send someone to the U.S. right now.
Well, you may think that, but we're still having these shows in the U.S. regardless. So I'm not saying it's a smart idea. I'm saying that they're probably going to want to have these guys on excursions. But like I said, we can't predict it. Maybe things will be better in 6 months. Maybe things will be worse in 6 months. Like, there's no point in speculating, you know? I mean, we just don't know.
They still have a guy on excursion, technically, with Tomoyuki Oka still being in the UK, and he can't do anything now. There's no shows in the UK going on.
Lost in England.
Yeah. It's. I mean, they eventually, at some point, they have to bring him back, right?
Well, they're not just going to leave him. Okay.
We forgot about you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, you just stay in England. Sorry, buddy. Like, this whole wrestling thing is passed you by. No thanks. But no. Like, they'll bring him back eventually, too. Like I said, everyone's going to come back eventually. Who knows how long it will take, though? Like, that's the question of it.
Yeah. So, that was the two shows we had over the weekend in Osaka. We already touched the cards that we have. There is a lot of multi-man stuff happening in Kirken Hall on July 20. Two matches that we can mention is Zanada and Shingo Takagi against El Desperado and Doki, setting up the Never Openweight Championship match. There is also Katsushika Okada and Hiroki Goto against Yujiro Takahashi and Gedo. So here we have it.
Yeah, there we go. He's the manager for Yujiro now, not
him. Yeah, see? Is that an upgrade? I don't know. It's an upgrade for Ichiro.
There's no upgrades for me at Bullet Club, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then semi-main is Tanahashi, Ibushi, Nagata, and Wato against Suzuki-gun, as I just mentioned. And the main event I also mentioned, LIJ versus the new incarnation of Bullet Club, the new trio that could hold the Never Openweight six-man tag team title, Evil, Dick Togo, and Taiji Ishimori. So, we got to touch it. Dick Togo. Dylan, what do you think about him being in New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Love Dick Togo. I hope they give him a chance. Don't think they will, but you know, I'm hopeful they do.
There was a lot of talk about it yesterday on Twitter when he debuted when he came back to New Japan. You got to say, he debuted his new role that he has been in NOAH earlier this year, and he had a fantastic run in their Global Junior League. And he eventually then just went away when all the pandemic started, and now here he is. I guess he's still technically with Michinoku Pro Wrestling. That's the promotion that he's affiliated with. I think he's doing the training in their dojo. So him being in a New Japan Pro Wrestling really gives us a lot of great opportunities. I mean, just think about a Shingo and Dick Togo match, show against Dick Togo. They could do so many matches with him being in. And we still have to wait and see where they are going to slot him because, I mean, he looks really big.
This was the plan all along, Striga. Like I said, they were always going to bring in Dick Togo. They knew when they saw him in NOAH that they needed to grab him. And, you know, him being big, definitely bigger than Bushi. I will say that.
Bigger than Zack Sabre Jr.?
Yeah, a lot of people are. So,
but that's always your calling card. When Zack can be a heavyweight, why can't the other guys that are as tall as him or as big as him?
Yeah. Well, it's not that he's tall, it's just that he's very thin. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's very thin. Togo can be a heavyweight. To me, heavyweight and all of that, it doesn't matter nearly as much as it used to anyway, like to the fans. And they've already got guys like Zach who are smaller than him as heavyweight, why wouldn't he be?
It seems that it doesn't mean a lot anymore to the company itself like it used to.
Yeah, and I don't think it meant anything to the fans for a while now. Once they moved Devitt up, because he was a small guy. Like, he never struck me as a true heavyweight, but still, he was a heavyweight. Like, to the people, you know? So once that happened, I think the barriers were broken down a bit in New Japan to where you could make Zack Sabre Jr. a heavyweight, where Hiromu can be a heavyweight now, where guys like Dick Togo can come in. He's historically been a junior. If he was a heavyweight, that's fine. I mean, I think he's going to end up wrestling a lot of the same guys anyway. I don't think he's going to have a very prolific spot on the card. I think he's largely going to be in multi-man tags.
And he's going to be sidekick for Evil, I guess.
And that's fine. Like I said, and he'd be great at that. If they put him in the Best of Super Juniors, that would be a great role for him. But I don't think he'll be in the G1. I think he's much more likely to be in the Best of the Super Juniors.
Yeah, I think so. And, man, some of the matches that you can pick out to watch, for example, that has made the round yesterday too, and it was an absolutely outstanding match. One of the greatest matches in DDT in the last 10 years. Antonio Honda against Dick Togo from January 30, 2011, 9.23 on Cage Match. There also is a Dick Togo versus Kota Ibushi match from the same year in March, 7.14. And then you can just go to this year and see that he's not lost a step when you will watch the match against Daisuke Harada from January 30, 2020.
Any match you watch of his, he's going to be a quality performer in it. Like he was a great, great wrestler, even in his days in Impro, you know, in Kaientai DX. He's done a lot of great work over the years, and he's a great addition. You know, I love seeing him. He's not the type of guy you would anticipate New Japan signing on a normal situation, but with things how they've gone, he's a great person to bring in. Dojo recognition, great signing by them, and I hope that he has those matches. If he has a bunch of singles matches, even if he's not pushed, I'm totally fine with that. Great for him to get a paycheck. And I'm happy for him. I don't think he's going to get used super well, but if they give him that run in the Best of Super Juniors, then to me it's all worth it.
There was another talking point that I bring up with Dick Togo coming in. Are there potentially other guys that could come in? I mean, I dropped the name Ikuto Hidaka at the beginning of the show already. What do you think? Is there room for more guys from the indies?
Of course there is. Yujiro's getting a main event push right now. You think they want that? be honest. Like, do you think they want that? I don't.
I don't think
I don't. So, yeah. Like, why not? Why not work with these guys? It's been talked about forever with all the promotions working together. Maybe they could start something there, like, along those lines.
I mean, when they have Dick Togo in, there is some talent that they could bring in from Michinoku Pro Wrestling to fill out the undercards. And they could even bring in the guy that they pushed the big in Michinoku Pro right now. Formerly Daichi Sasaki, who is now going as Musashi, who was their Toko Junior Heavyweight Champion. So why don't bring him in for the Junior Division 2?
He's very good. I don't think Impro has anything to do with this, personally. Like, I don't mean
maybe
to shut you down like that.
Maybe.
But, like I said, and he's good. Like, I'm a big fan of his, actually. I would love to see him come in, but I don't think that really is a thinking point of theirs. I think, to me, someone like Takaiwa is more likely to come in, who has, like, I'm thinking guys with Dojo type of deal.
And also maybe guys that Yado and Go just know that they are friends with. And I also want to point out that Dick Togo, to this day, is still the Tokyo Intercontinental Tag Team Champion with Masada.
Masada's coming in, baby, to New Japan.
I don't know.
He's in. Look at I think a good research would be to look at all of their Lionsgate show and maybe some of the original Never shows. Who was working there that is
You mentioned one name that is currently affiliated with Makai in Haganashima.
My favorite wrestler. Madoka, formerly.
Yep.
He was in Never. He made it to the finals of that tournament, where it was going to be him or Taichi that made the Best of Super Juniors that year. And Taichi has gone on to have a prolific career. It could have been Haganashino, who would have been much better than Taichi. But that would be cool. He doesn't really have any dojo experience. K-Dojo affiliate. Even someone like Taka, I think, if they want to bring him back.
I don't know about that. Maybe?
Well, with the scandal and stuff, does that really matter to New Japan?
Apparently it does not.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they think that way, personally. But they got rid of him, so like it mattered a little. But remember, he's still on the website, on the roster page, for Suzuki-Gun. So they've never deleted him, actually. He's just run JTO right now. So I actually wouldn't be surprised at all if he came in. Otherwise, maybe a guy like Takaiwa, like I said. Like you said, maybe some of the older guys. Of the younger guys, I'm not really sure who would be a good fit for New Japan. We just don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
I wish they bring in a heavyweight, to be honest with you, because, like I said, there's definitely a lot of room at the top for a new guy to come in. You know, but who would it be as a heavyweight?
I mean, I can't see Koi Sato fitting the role.
He would be good.
But does he strike you as a guy that current New Japan would bring in?
I think he actually fits a lot better in Bullet Club than Evil does. Because Sato comes across like whenever I look at him, he's a super grimy mm-hmm. heel.
Yes.
Like for Japanese wrestling standards. So I think he'd be perfect for a heel role. Here's the thing. Like, at the end of the day, I don't mean to like shut down anybody. But whoever they bring in is not getting a big push in all likelihood, of these indie guys, if they look for outside talent, it's not going to be anybody that they're going to be. They're going to have to impress them to earn a contract. It's kind of like a longer term deal. I've heard it speculated maybe this could be a short term deal for Togo.
Yeah.
How long could he be around for?
I don't know. I don't think that his Michinoku Pro contract is so important that he can't just say, I'm with New Japan now.
Well, I don't think that matters. Like, I think he'd stay there forever if they wanted him. How long would they have him there? is what I'm asking.
The thing is, in Japanese wrestling, usually, once you have a position, you won't lose the position. I mean, just look at Yoshinobu Kanemaru.
I was just about to bring him up. Yeah. So maybe if Togo's here for the long run, I'm all for this.
Yeah.
That's a great thing that could happen. But I still just, I don't know if they're going to, if they've had somebody that was out there that they thought would be a star, they would have brought him in already. Well, you know, like Sonata, like they did with Sonata and stuff. For whatever reason, there's just nobody that had that knew that guy that had it in. Maybe Keiji Muto.
No, he's going to win the GHC title now.
He'll at least go for it. Like I said, but you never know with Muto. I said, he could be someone. But would it be out of his character to double cross Noah and go back and chase the payday and go back?
No, it wouldn't.
Challenge Evil for the
then title. Most of the Wrestle 1 guys now have places they work at. So don't see anyone from formerly Wrestle 1 coming over.
That's who they should go after, is like young guys.
Yep.
Like to me. If I were in New Japan shoes and I needed to restock the roster, Dick Togo's awesome. I love him. But I'd be focusing more on younger guys. If it were me, they have enough stars already. Like, you know, none of the guys they lost are that big of a difference maker. Like, you know, Kenta did a good show and he's a great upper mid card heel, but he's older too. And not a dojo guy. So that otherwise Ospreay and Jay White, they push them hard. But they can be replaced. Like there's nobody like a Naito that they lost. They've got stars if they need them, but they need to fill out the card more than anything because they just don't have enough guys because they've lost so many.
Yeah, they do. And with Roppongi 3K now being out of the picture and the junior tag team title being probably vacated, they should bring in Kaji Tomato and Chango.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, Kaji Tomato is great. He would be a great addition to the junior division.
It just depends on 2AW working with All Japan and how that's going to go. I think it's more likely they'd start working with somebody and bring in somebody from another company, or maybe even multiple if they want to set up, if they still have plans for the big multi-man show. I don't know if that's going to happen at this point with the multi-promotions. We haven't really heard anything on that of late. But I could easily see them working with an All Japan or a 2AW and bringing in a guy.
Yeah, it's interesting that nobody really has brought the All Together idea up in recent weeks. There is going to be a joint show, I think, with Big Japan is there, 2AW, and 01. They are doing a good joint show. But except for that, nobody has brought it up because it was a talking point around May. A lot of people have been talking about that. And remember, they even did this, Noah did this angle with Kaito Kiyomiya calling out Okada, which never led to anything.
Yes. I predicted that, by the way.
Oh,
that
very would not bold prediction.
Yes. Yeah, so I just want to say that I predicted that Kaito would not face Okada. But hey, we still got plenty of time. What if he comes out after the big Okada puts down Yujiro with three Rainmakers, pins him 32 minutes and 27 seconds, and then Kaito Kiyomiya's music hits, and him, flanked by Inaba, comes out to the ring and gets in Okada's face?
I mean, I mean, that would be unexpected, but New Japan did a lot of unexpected things.
that's another thing right now. We're talking about things. Like, we're in a whole new... It's like the Wild West of pro-res right now in Japan. Like, the rules have changed. We don't really know what they are right now, so it's hard to make accurate predictions.
The Forbidden Door, Dylan.
Kenny Omega flies back to Japan, breaks all the laws of Japan. But New Japan, with all of their sway in the government, helps him get in. A huge twist of fate. He comes back into Japan and re-debuts for New Japan. The Forbidden Door is opened.
Yes, it is. Yeah, but for now, I think as we talked about New Japan, that is mostly what we can talk about. There is still Sengoku Lord in Nagoya, July 25. Card is as follows: Taiji Ishimori against Yuya Uemura, Satoshi Kojima, Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, and Ryusuke Toguchi against Tomohiro Ishii, Toru Yano, Yoda Tsuji, and Gabriel Kidd, Hiroki Goto, Yoshihashi, and Sho against Tetsuya Naito, Sanada, and Bushi, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kota Ibushi, Yuji Nagata, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, and Master Wato against Minoru Suzuki, Taichi, Zack Sabre Jr., Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Doki. Then we have the special singles match that you already laid out so well. Katsushika Okada against Yujiro Takahashi. Never Openweight title, Shingo Takagi defends against El Desperado, and for the double championship, Evil defends against Hiromu Takahashi. And that's as far we can go with New Japan right now.
Should be interesting to see that match. Very interested to see how Hiromu and Evil goes and what they do. Love the angle with Hiromu screaming and going crazy and the Y on his wrist tape. It should be a lot of fun. But, Stringer, before we get on here, I asked people to send us questions.
Yes.
And we talked about a good chunk of these already in our podcast now, but I'm just going to go through them, and anything we need to expand on, we can real quick. So are you ready, Stringer, to see what the people have to say about
I've never been
New Japan?
More ready.
I know you have been. Okay, so first off, Scott Barker at Icon 162, he says, first of all, he says, Naito's title run being cut short, sad face / facepalm emoji. Do you think he'll challenge Evil after the Hiromu match and win the title back, or will it be Okada beating Evil? We already said that Naito
yes.
is more likely to challenge him. Yeah. Do you think this was originally Jay White's spot at Dominion, and Evil joining Bullet Club was a makeshift plan, or was it the plan all along? So it kind of plays into Jay being a replacement for Omega, mm-hmm. kind of in his title run. Do you think that could be the case here?
No. I don't think that Evil was supposed to join Bullet Club if everything had gone down regularly. But I think that Evil turning on Naito was the plan, and I don't think that Jay was the plan.
He was a favorite when the original tournament was
going
to happen.
Yeah,
remember,
he had the singles match against Sanada, which he won,
yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah, he did win the match against Sanada.
And we speculated about Sanada versus Jay White in the finals of the New Japan Cup.
Yeah, that could have been a plan if that had happened.
Interesting, but, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's possible. Like, if you look at how things played out, Jay could have been the plan. And I also could see them
maybe
wanting Jay to beat Naito to get more heat on him as well.
Yeah, yeah. Now that you say it like that, it makes sense actually. Yeah,
it does make sense. I don't like. We're just speculating, obviously, mm-hmm. but that theory makes sense at least.
Yeah.
So he also says, "What do you think the dome show will look like this year? Both the card and a possible half-filled dome. Do you think they'll have a full dome?"
It's good that you bring up this question, because it would have been another talking point of mine. Harold May did an interview with Tokyo Sports, and he, of course, talked about the measures that they've taken regarding hygiene, so washing hands and whatever, you know. And he said that they will have to look at each venue and take different measures for each venue. So they can use a venue like Osaka Jo Hall with one-third of the capacity. It's an indoor venue. And most of the other, well, basically all of the other venues they use are indoor venues. The Tokyo Dome, however, is not. So we can take into consideration that for Japan, there is a big new spike in coronavirus cases this weekend. In the last couple of days, they had 200, 400, and now they have, again, over 370 cases, 373 actually. So we'll have to wait and see how that develops. But if the situation is steady and they don't have to go to a lockdown, I can see them doing a Tokyo Dome show where they could sell up to 25,000 tickets, because it's an outdoor venue, and the air in an outdoor venue is much better than in an indoor venue, and the danger of an infection is much lower in an outdoor situation than it is in an indoor situation. So they will do a Tokyo Dome show, or they are planning to do one, Harold May said. They are also planning to hold the G1 just as they planned earlier this year. And I think there will be a Tokyo Dome show.
Yeah, me too. Will it be half-filled? Like you said, the 25,000-seat arrangement makes sense. I think that's very logical. We already mentioned that you think Naito and Evil will be the main event. Do you have any idea what do you think Shingo's still never champion by then?
I think he will still be never champion.
Yeah, me too. Do you have any idea who he could face?
Who would it be? I mean, Shingo Takagi against Dick Togo would be great, right?
That would be awesome. Like that, and it would make a lot of sense too.
Yeah.
Like that, since Togo and Evil's there. What about the junior title? Hiromu champion right now, could he be defending it at the Dome?
He could. He could, of course. But they won't have a big story like they had this year with Will Ospreay. So it's not going to be anywhere close to what they did this year with the junior title. Hiromu show I would like. Otherwise, I don't really have any big junior in mind. The division really isn't that great.
Yeah, that could be a guy they bring in, like to have a one-off title match against Hiromu. I could see that being what, if they do bring in an indie guy, or maybe Dick Togo will face him
for
the title. Yeah, Togo fits in so many pieces in New Japan right now. It'll be something like that. You said Hiromu and Sho. I like you, like, we're just kind of fantasy booking.
Yeah.
Hiromu Sho, Shingo Togo, and Evil Naito is your Tokyo Dome. I can't imagine Evil main eventing this show, even though it makes logical sense. Usually you're the one who does this. Like, I say logical stuff and then you go against it. And it doesn't really benefit you in the past, but I'm going to repeat your mistakes of the past, Trigger, and go against your logical argument and say Evil cannot main event the show. Naito versus Okada again for the title in the main event of the Dome.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, that's actually, like, not that crazy under normal circumstances. Shingo, I think, is still going to be the champion. Him versus
Yujiro Takahashi.
No, that will not be the path. That's the logical choice. But Goto's in that title every year, man. Like I said, I'd rather him form a tag team with somebody.
That's the logical choice, then, if he's in every year.
He is the logical choice. That's a very high chance that is what it ends up being. But I'm going to say something different. What about Shingo versus Ibushi for the NEVER title?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
That's a big marquee match. It really puts Shingo on
I was going to make another point about the tag team, the Golden Aces. Now that they have lost the championship, I don't really want to see Tanahashi in a singles role again, because we've been over that. He's so broken down, he just can't do it right now.
It's like he struggles even just walking, like sometimes, like during the middle of matches. Yep. Like, brother is hurting right now. I feel for him, because he's a great worker. Like that match he had was really good, even still. But if you just look at him, if you just focus on him during matches, he struggles at really basic things. So I completely agree with you. This might be a chance, to be honest. It might be him in a big singles role, because this might be his last chance, like at the Dome, for a big match of any sort. And even that, like you said, you're already saying you don't want him to push it. But I think the odds of not being in the G1 is very low, unless something happens. I think he's going to be there. So
he pretty much has to be there, because they can bring in the outsiders. They can bring in the outsiders. They can bring in the the foreigners.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I think that if they do a big match, I think it's possible he has a big match of some sort at the Dome, because like I said, this might be his last shot, because I don't know if he can make it another two or three years.
In a big match situation in the Dome, probably, but just not in a title run situation.
And he doesn't. He's kind of the odd man out anyway, right now, you know, like, ultimately. Shingo Ibushi for me at the junior title. Hiromu, I think it'll be I think this will be the outsider.
Yeah,
but I don't. That'll.
I mean, it's going to be tough for any foreigner to play a big role going to the Tokyo Dome, because they can't build up anything.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a foreigner, but just somebody who's like an indie guy or from another company or something. Mm. That would be a big match too. If they did work with another company, like let's just say they brought in, you know, Kotage or Harada from Noah. They worked with Noah, or All Japan, they brought in, you know, Yusuke Okada or somebody. Or like the DDT guys, they could bring in Sasaki, who Hiromu caught out. That's not a match I would like to see too much for Hiromu, but he mentioned him.
They're definitely going to have troubles in finding a big drawing match except for Naito Okada.
Yeah. I agree with that. It's why I picked it. But we'll see what they do. And this is a weird year anyway, because it's very, very unlikely it's a full, you know, chance for the Dome. So maybe the draw, they're not that worried about it right now. I don't really know. But it's hard to predict right now. But we do think there'll be a Dome, and it won't be full too much. So thank you, Scott. Longtime Patreon subscriber, too. So thank you so much, Scott. Let's go to Matthias. He says, at Yonqueen M on Twitter, he says, number one, was Master Wato the best thing on both of those shows? No. This is my answer.
No.
But he was good, and I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Number two, not a question, but I just wanted to say that the "at least you're not surprised," quote-unquote, statement is really stupid and a really odd way to defend shitty booking. Well, I didn't say that, first of all. But I do like that there was change, at least. So that would be my point. But I get where you're coming from. Like, some people are going to, like, bend over backwards to defend everything, but I don't think this is the case of that. I think people are more than fair, actually, on this. So, at KSJ49, another longtime patron, he says, I know he mentioned this twice, both on the thread and just to us. I know this is repetitive, but why 38 minutes for Evil and Naito?
He wanted us to bury everything. I mean,
we were fair to that. Yeah. Like, we could have been a lot harder. Like, that match wasn't good, dude.
No.
Like, there's no nice way to say it.
I mean,
and that was part of the
reason. It's their idea of main event matches. They have to go long.
Yeah.
That's
I think so too.
It.
We talked about it in the last episode when you were talking about Okada and Hiromu. I think this is what they think what a great match is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's be honest. That match got high ratings.
Yes.
This Naito and Evil match did not get that high ratings on Cage Match.
No.
So it's interesting how that worked out. But yeah, the 38 minutes sucked. Evil's not that guy, like, to work these matches.
No.
Fair.
No, he's not.
Especially not in, nobody's this guy, like, in this Bullet Club gimmick. Like, I don't care if it was Kobashi working a Bullet Club gimmick where guys are going to run in and chairs at Milano Collection AT. Like, that's not going to work for a 38-minute match. I'm sorry. Isaac Slater at Isaac_Wrestling, he says, do you think that this would have been more or less controversial had they done the same angle with any other member of LIJ? We kind of went over that. It kind of had to be Evil from a storyline perspective. More or less controversial?
Yes, it would have been, because no other LIJ member would have made sense. Even this was a stretch for Evil to turn to the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
But I imagine just Sanada being the one to turn to the Bullet Club.
Yeah. Yeah, they at least built him up through this tournament. It wasn't built up at all before this tournament, an Evil turn. Like, that's really one of my big problems with this, is that he just wasn't that over or built up at all leading up to this. But the most controversial would have been if Bushi had turned and gotten a title shot. I think that would have been very controversial, in my opinion, if that had happened. So that to me... Or what if Hiromu joined the Bullet Club?
That would have been controversial, of course, yes.
I don't know if I could have done the show if that had happened, because it would have been so stupid. And this was stupid. Like, this Evil turn to me. I didn't like it. I'm just happy they did something different, but I did not like this, I promise you guys.
Yeah.
But that would have made me hate wrestling, I think, if that had happened. Also, what matches are you excited about for Dick Togo? If you had your pick, which other indie Japanese wrestlers would you bring in? Dick Togo, we mentioned already. Yep. A lot of the guys we have. Let's just say Dream World. You mentioned Musashi, who's a really good pick, a super underrated guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody, if you ran New Japan, who would you bring in?
Fuminori Abe.
Yes! That would be perfect. And he'd fit in great. He gets super over in New Japan, too. Like, super charismatic, great worker. Love Abe. I messaged him one time. He was very nice to me, by the way. So shout out to Fuminori.
Nice.
Yes, Abe, great guy and great wrestler as well. I agree with you. He would be one. Otherwise, I would bring in Hideki. because you have an automatic match with Minoru Suzuki. I feel like that would be a great team or a feud if you wanted to do that. So just if my dream indie guys, it would be him. And I agree with you on Abe. So Liam O'Farrell at Liam Oaf. We're getting down to the last few questions here. He says, what do you think happens with the trio titles? Well, we already mentioned that.
Yeah.
Like I said. So yeah, thanks for the question, but they're gone.
They're probably going to be vacated, and whenever they need them again, whenever they feel they need them again, they'll bring them back.
They're kind of like just a comedy title anyway, in a lot of ways. Yeah. Like if Taguchi can bring a group together, kind of like how the Big Japan 6-man titles are, like they're kind of like that, but mm-hmm. even lower actually on the card. So Angel RC at Elegante Angel. He's been on Lucha Talk before as a caller, so shout out to Angel.
Shout out to
really cool. Yeah, very nice guy, cool, very knowledgeable. He says, in a scenario where a foreign talent that isn't living in Japan is involved with the booking until at least after the G1 climax, who could New Japan bring in, or in its case, are some young lions getting upgraded sooner than expected?
Yeah, that's going to our Yuya Umuwa point. He'll probably have to be upgraded sooner. I don't think that he'll be in the G1 this year. That would be too soon. But I can see him being in a position where he moves up the card and eventually gets a pinfall victory over some veteran, maybe Honma or something like that. Seeing until who would New Japan bring in? Like, he bring in for the G1 or just bring in as a whole?
I think he's saying for the G1. Mm. But I guess, it's kind of the same pretty much.
Yeah. I think we already went to that. Unless they are working with another company, I don't see them bringing in a lot of outsiders.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it's more likely they bring in somebody from another company to bring in. Let's just go through the companies. Let's go through the ones we did in our draft. I'll give you a chance to pick one name from each company. Noah, who could they bring in for the G1 and the Best of Super Juniors?
They could for the G1. Climax bring in Katsuhiko Nakajima.
But the problem is with these companies, I'm about to totally negate all of this.
I mean, they have their own. Of course you can negate everything.
But the problem is they have their own tournaments going on.
Yeah, that's
with the N1 and the Champion Carnival. Mm. But let's just go with this. So Nakajima is your pick for Noah.
For the junior tournament from Noah, who would I go with? Daisuke Harada, probably.
Yeah, he's the top one. I think would be good. And they have a lot of good juniors in Noah, so any one of them would be good. For me, Nakajima is a great pick. He's the one that could get over.
I mean, if they need someone for the junior tag title, they could also use Hao and Neo.
Yeah, that would be good. Hao is really underrated, actually. Very good worker. So he would be good. For me, heavyweight, Nakajima, to me, is the best pick that you could have there. Juniors, I would like to see... Let's see. I'd like to see somebody who has some kind of history with Ishimori, but they're all kind of gone at that point. So I'm not sure. Maybe Kotage. Like I said, he's kind of my favorite. But him or Harada. Like I said, they've got a lot of good juniors in Noah. So
if you want someone who has a history with Ishimori, it would have to be... is it Neo or Hao? It's Neo, right?
Yeah, that's right. Hiroki.
Neo.
Yeah.
I always mix the two names up.
Yeah. Hao is Sato.
From the Double X tag team. That's Ishimori abandoned.
Can you imagine Hiroki coming out to New Japan? Perfect. Or maybe, see, Tanaka's a freelancer, but he has New Japan experience. Minoru Tanaka?
Yeah.
He's an able to have a...
Yes.
Yeah, see, he'd be really good if that happened. What about All Japan? Who could they bring in?
Like, just realistically, or...
It won't be Kento. If you're gonna say
that's why I didn't pick Go.
Yeah, exactly.
From... All Japan. That's tough.
The power of the pencil, baby.
Yuma Aoyagi has worked Lionsgate before.
That's good. He has a feud with Taichi, too, as well.
Yeah.
So they could have him lose to Taichi again.
Heavyweight, and for the juniors, I don't know. Could be anyone. Yusuke Okada, maybe.
Yeah. That was the first thing that came to mind for me, too. And plus, he could lose a lot, and not it wouldn't bother anybody. Yeah. I say the power of the pencil... Shuji Ishikawa takes his payday in New Japan for them. But like I said, those
that
two have tournaments,
so
it won't be anybody from them. Right? Yeah, maybe they could come in later, but not for the tournaments. But what about DDT? I think that could be a possibility for both tournaments.
DDT, there is a lot of guys you can bring in. Keisuke Ishii would be my choice for the juniors.
Godbari Pro represent, baby.
Yeah. And, I mean, there has been a lot of speculation ever since his debut, and because he had this match with Hiroshi Tanahashi early on in his career, Konosuke Takeshita would be awesome for the heavyweights.
He would be awesome. So that those would be my exact picks, I think. I would also throw in Yuki Ueno as well.
If they wanted to have a young guy.
Yeah, if they wanted to have a young guy who could lose a lot, he'd be fine.
Naomi Yoshimura is great, too.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love if they came in for, like, the tag league or something.
Yeah.
But a match of the month, I'm kind of spoiling myself, but that was a top three match of June for me on the Patreon, that tag match at DDT. So I love that match. But, yeah, so they're great. They would all be good. That was the question for them. Let's move on, like, wrap this up a little bit. Anthony Lewis at Sega of My House 1. I love Sega, but... He says, do you like Evil's Awesome Kong cosplay?
No.
Is the answer. Yes, terrible downgrade with this. This look has got to change. And finally, Saleh, at Arandi Saleh, he says, are you optimistic about the IWGP scene?
Not very much.
That's vague, but not really, with Evil as champion. Like I said, I really think this isn't going to be a long-term deal with Evil, ultimately. Maybe it is, like you said, the Dome. If it is, maybe can reassess it in 6 months, how this goes. But if you just have this for a brief run, I'm not completely ruling this out as being good. The execution makes me not optimistic, sadly. And I'm just not that big of a fan of Evil.
I'm very much not optimistic for any... match quality in the IWGP heavyweight scene right now, because it's going to be a lot of these same matches with Evil on top. We talked about that.
And we've seen it all so many times. like the same style.
I mean, there's just not a lot of guys that will or can believably win the title.
That's the crazy part. Like I said, I really hate that they're doing a Robo match. Like, this is like that Ashino match versus Suwama. And that was an amazing match. That was another top three match. I'm going to spoil my whole top three on the show for the Patreon. But still, that was an amazing match. But just thinking back on it, it's like, man, like why didn't this wait? And now this Hiromu match, it's like, what was the purpose of this? Like, why couldn't this have waited? You know, I don't get it, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I do.
But, yeah. Well, thanks to everybody for the questions. This is something I really want to do more of in the future, is have more audience interaction with the show. So that's something I've got planned coming up for the future. So thank you to everybody for sending in so many cool questions. And I know that this show that we've just talked about caused a lot of reaction. It definitely was controversial, like was mentioned. So
I mean, there was just so much to get into. This is why the show was so long. But I mean... Can you think back to a New Japan weekender? Even them doing a weekender is weird. But can you think back to shows that have caused so many changes in the company?
Mm-hmm. And I think this is kind of like what I was thinking when I said Okada and Naito would be a match they would want to go to, because I thought that would be a match you could say, we're back, like New Japan is back, and this is our biggest shot. Like, but here, instead... they said, we're back, and here's something that's going to get everybody talking. Like, we're going to do something shocking, multiple shocking things. Some crazy things happened that nobody could have predicted. And like you said, there was so much to talk about, not just on this show, but online. The reactions have blown up. I have never seen this much of an emotional reaction to a turn in New Japan for, forever, pretty much. So I think if the idea was to get publicity for their show... it really worked, it really did work, and that's why I can't crush this. I like on a quality perspective, everybody knows I hated these matches, but I can't completely kill it when I understand what they were going for. And it really ultimately it did a lot of good for pushing new guys. They did a lot of good with this tournament and doing new things, which is something that we've clamored for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly what I want. But still, I would take this over Okada winning the title again, over Naito, to be honest with you,
Yeah, I mean...
Which still may happen.
The option was there for just doing Okada again in the New Japan Cup. And ultimately they didn't, and I'm glad for that, at least.
Yeah, see, exactly.
And they're trying new stuff, and that's good too. So we'll see where that goes. There's a lot of speculation in this show. There's a lot of speculation on Twitter. There's a lot of speculation from all sides of New Japan fans, and that is very good for the company.
Absolutely. So you have to give them credit for that, and hopefully that we can see some sellouts in the future, and they could do some more different things, and we see some more guys getting brought in, because that would cause even more, you know, interesting stuff. Guys who have never seen someone like a Dick Togo before, he's a legend to people that have watched him and, you know about his story and his legacy, but now a lot of new fans that have never seen him or never heard of him can go back and watch him and see what he's all about and see what a... his star has really gotten a big boost through all this, so I'm very happy for that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that is it. You mentioned our Patreon already. There's going to be the match of the month by you. We had the series on Manabu Nakanishi on the $5 Patreon tier. What else is there, Dylan?
Oh, man, we've done so many weeks of lariats right now. We did it for Hiroshi Tenzan. We did one for Shinya Hashimoto. We did two for Hashimoto, actually. There was so much to get to for Big Hosh, the man who is named after the tier, or named the tier. He had to go after him twice. Muto, we had a golden lariat. Chono, we went through all of his G1 finals. And so much more. We've done special shows like the one for 01 in All Japan. We talked about the Ashino and Suwama match, the entire show that I talked about. And I do reviews live. I recovered the entire New Japan Cup live. The day of the shows, you'll have new shows to listen to. And I'll be doing some more stuff. Some tournaments are coming up in a couple of months, and I'll be covering all of them. So that'll be a lot of fun there and a lot of work to do as well. Even Dragon Gate, King of Gate, I did every show for that as well. DDT, I did a live reaction to Peter Pan. So you're getting cool stuff. TigerCast W, the 90s project, all 90s wrestling, going to start 1994 this week. So a lot of cool stuff coming up then. And yeah, we're going to talk about our next show. Speaking of match of, we have the match of the half year.
Yes,
coming up too.
Yeah, the next show that we are going to do, there's not a timetable yet, but the next show that we'll be doing will be the half year awards show.
So, I'm so excited about this show because it's such a crazy year. Like, you know, that's happened. Normally you think of like the big names and stuff, the guys we see the most of, the guys that is the most popular. They're always up in the mix. A lot of times I'll maybe throw somebody a curveball or something, but there have been a lot of wrestling that maybe wouldn't have gotten that much attention, like 2AW, that got a lot more because New Japan was out. So we've got a lot of guys, no New Japan for much of the first half of the year. They came back at the end, and they had a run at the beginning, too. So you have a lot of interesting empty arena stuff going on that we're going to talk about. So if you skipped out, if you're one of these fans that was like, man, empty arena wrestling sucks, it's not for me. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to watch it. And maybe you're like, man, New Japan's back. There's fans coming back. I'm back into wrestling now. Crazy stuff is going on. And you listen to our show, you'll have a lot of recommendations to go back at. If you're like, man, I watch hours and hours of this empty arena wrestling, we'll give you the top stuff, the guys to watch, and a lot of cool stuff that you may have missed. And if you did watch it, you know, that's another thing I mentioned, the fan interaction. I'll definitely post the award list so everybody can send us their picks for the first
half. That's a great idea. We should do that. All right, man. So I guess that wraps up our big episode on the New Japan Cup Final and on New Japan Dominion. Was very thankful for all the questions that listeners send us. I'm, of course, thankful for all the Patreon subscribers, so please check us out, patreon.com/EasternLariat. That has been the Eastern Lariat for this week. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.